welcome to Glee Chat episode number 29. The Glee episode 319 has just finished airing, titled Promosaurus. And tonight we have on the show Natalie Fisher. Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm all right, thank you.
You had your live stream messed up tonight.
So I saw the internet have a collective meltdown because I usually have a very good, reliable live stream and a community of people who depend on live streams, and it cut out, and then it'll switch to another one, which then very quickly got cut out. So I'm really hoping that won't be a problem for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Fox, if you're listening, please just leave us alone. I'm overseas. It's really not it might be affecting your ratings, but you know, I'm overseas. I'm not contributing to your ratings. So please just let me have the live stream.
Right. If anything, you're helping, you know, the whole fandom of Glee to rehash this episode and be on the podcast. Yeah. I'm sure nobody from Fox is listening, though. Sorry to burst your bubble there. Oh, it's all right. Okay, so also on the show, Megan Stoll. Hey, Megan.
Hey.
So we announced that you would be leaving the show at the end of this season of Glee, and have you had a response from any of the Glee Chat listeners? Because frankly, I'm trying to get you on every single episode that I can until you leave, because we need you. So.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. I have a few listeners that follow me on Twitter, and they've been really sweet, and they've said, oh no, I don't want you to go. And I'm like, well, it's not really goodbye. You know, it's just kind of not so a regular thing. Yeah. So,
that's good. Yeah. I've been seeing a couple of them tweet to you, and you've said some nice things. So
yeah, I'm actually playing.
Not always going to be gone. So
yeah. And I'm actually playing some draw something games with a couple of them. Yeah. And they're going really well. It's super fun.
So you can continue the relationship that way.
Exactly. Your words of friends. I'm on Draw Something if you want to play with me.
What is your name on Draw Something?
Muddy Buddy 9.
Muddy Buddy 9?
Muddy Buddy 9, yeah.
I probably start a game with you myself. So
awesome. Yeah, I was super sad because I did a really good Katniss the other day, and it was all for naught because my friend didn't even know who Katniss was or what the Hunger Games was, and I was like, what?
That's terrible. You should probably just end your game with them right there.
I would. It's just like one of my best friends.
Yeah, okay.
I have never drawn anything because I am on a BlackBerry, sorry to say.
Yeah, you're going to have to upgrade to iPhone or something sometime, Natalie.
Yeah.
Mm. Also on the show is Mitch Clow.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Very good. I just actually was on an episode of Smash Chat with you last night. So this is, and actually Megan as well. So this is two nights in a row of podcasting with you. How do you feel about that?
It is just so exciting because you guys are so fun to podcast with.
That's good. Awesome. And Mitch will be on through the rest of the season of Glee, which is only actually 2 weeks, right, Mitch? You'll be on.
Yeah, that we'll be able to do that. So.
Yeah, you'll be, for those that don't know, we announced that a couple weeks ago because Mitch is going to be helping with the editing process so that we can get some of these episodes out quicker. I have kind of a busy weekday. You know, my weekdays are kind of busy, so I end up having to put the show sort of on the back burner until I can get to it, like, for a couple hours at one time, and then that's why the shows have been kind of late. So sorry about that, but they should be out very quickly, starting with this episode. So,
and you know, we should mention, John, just in case people notice a little bit of a difference in the audio sound, that we're doing what we did with Smash Chat in that we're recording the Skype call. So once in a while, you might hear a little bit of a blip where someone's audio might just kind of cut out like that and speed up. But other than that, I don't think we should have too much. It's just basically the compromise we have to make for now so that we can get out the episode as soon as we can with the best quality possible. So there you go.
That's all the technical terms for you right there. Awesome. Thank you very much, Mitch, for your contribution. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
And also on the show, as we had mentioned last week, is Andrew Sims. Hey, Andrew, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back. Happy to talk about the show as it wraps up for the season.
Yeah, we were talking in the Hypeable group on Facebook, and Andrew self-identified himself as a casual Glee fan, but I think that's just So I think that you need to just, you know, take on this new identity of identifying yourself as a Gleek, you know?
I like the show. It's just that when I compare it to other shows that I watch, it, you know, it's a whole different thing. So
yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time. But
I'm not on the edge of my seat crying like I am with other television shows.
Well, so that's I was crying tonight, so maybe that's the difference between you and I.
Well, happy to talk about it, though, still, nonetheless.
Great. Thank you very much for being on the show. Yeah, so let's go ahead and start rehashing the show. And what was the last episode you were on, Andrew? Do you happen to remember? Do you guys remember?
Probably like a month or two months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago, yeah. Tonight was obviously the prom episode. And before we start rehashing the episode, I thought it was interesting that, you know, and this wasn't something we had ever mentioned before, that Glee would do another prom episode, you know, sort of in the same vein. You know, obviously we had a prom episode in season two. There wasn't a prom episode in season one, right?
No.
Okay. There wasn't a whole there episode, wasn't. But they went to prom.
In
season one. Oh, wait, no, not season one.
Right, I'm talking
season. My bad.
Yeah.
See, I think it's like, it feels like Glee's in season five for me because the way they split it up. Sorry.
I know.
Oh, I know.
That has been, so... Yeah,
I just think it's funny that next week is a double episode. It's almost like they kind of forgot to plan things properly. So they're like, oh, crap, we need to put two in one week.
That's not surprising, like, at all. They're like, oh, we're doing a seven-week hiatus. Oh, wait, we've got too many episodes. Like, they wing it. For such a big production, they wing it more than any show that I've ever, like, known about the production of. They really just fly by the seat of their pants on most of their, like, they're usually, like, still editing the episode the day it goes to air. Like, there's a lot, they, more than any big, like, I've never seen a big production show be this kind of, just wing it this much. It's,
well, I thought
insane.
That this scenario was, had something to do with the State of the Union address from back in January, because didn't that sort of set everything off? Because wasn't
That could be.
I can't remember exactly.
They still didn't need that seven-week hiatus.
Yeah,
they could have had 6 weeks hiatus, you know, like, and not had...
Yeah.
Or finished a week later. Like, I don't know, like, is there a law that says they have to finish in May? Like, I don't...
Well, I think...
The May sweeps, I think.
Yeah, I think they really set everything up with the May sweeps. And though it does seem like a big thing to have those 7 weeks off, odds are whatever show filled that those time slots for that 7 weeks probably have already been locked in. So, you know, you can't just push another show out after it's already been
Well, that's the thing, though. Weren't the Glee episodes reruns? Weren't they running reruns during that time?
Oh, were they? I don't know. I wasn't even...
Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah, I think they were.
So well, there was the time... They had the time slot, but they weren't using... Oh.
Yeah, no excuses there, Glee.
Anyway.
I'm shaking my finger at you. Wag of the finger, as Colbert would say. Okay, anyway, let's get into the rehash here. We open with another episode of Rachel's sort of inner dialogue talking about the big situation last week when she choked at her Niada audition. She says that her Niada dream was a sweater she had in her back closet. Now she's just going to focus on prom. And she runs into Becky in the girls' bathroom, and Becky makes a funny notion that says she needs to get away from Rachel because she doesn't want to catch Rachel's failure, which I thought was pretty funny.
Becky was a riot this episode.
Yeah, she was hilarious.
She was on fire.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah, and we'll get to more of Becky's scenes here as we keep going. It turns out that Brittany is flunking each of her classes, and Figgins says that she needs to start doing well or she is going to have her class president position abolished. He suggests that she rehabilitate her image, starting with prom. She meets with the prom committee, which consists of three people that we've never met on the show before, at least not as far as I can remember. Brittany decides that the prom theme will be dinosaurs, saying, quote, "The Bible told me that dinosaurs and cavemen lived side by side for millions of years." And yeah, so we figured this out. We heard this in the preview last week, so we kind of knew what was going to be coming up on with the prom episode. But what are your guys' thoughts about, you know, the whole Christianity and religion thing? Because even though it's sort of a subtle dig here kind of at Christianity, there's a lot of religion discussion happening with Glee in the last couple of weeks. Natalie, do you have any thoughts about her mentioning about the Bible and the dinosaurs living side by side?
I literally wrote down on my phone as I was watching the episode, I was like, oh, Glee, one hand gives, the other hand takes away.
Yeah, exactly.
That quote where she was like, where they were talking about the different themes, and someone was like, oh, Stairway to Heaven. And she was like, oh, no, we can't, not, unless you have an escalator for disabled kids. I'm like, oh, okay. The next line was like, I'm not sure if they can get into heaven anyway. And I was just like, Glee, that, like, that two sentences just sums up everything that is wonderful and problematic about Glee, like, in the same sentence. But I don't know. I wasn't thinking too much about, like, the dinosaurs and cavemen thing. I think that it was just sort of her being a bit sort of delusional as usual. But the whole scene, I didn't really, like, I've been sort of ambivalent to Brittany in the sense that I was like, okay, she's sometimes she's funny, you know, and sometimes she's really oblivious.
Yeah.
I did not like her in this episode. I really found her, like, unlikable, quite vicious. And the thing that really sort of drove it in was when she was, somewhere along the line, she's been told or learned that, like, oh, if she doesn't, if someone has a different opinion and she doesn't like it, she can get away with shutting them down by saying that it's bullying. Like, you know how she said that to them? She's like, you don't like my theme, it's bullying, so I'm fire you. That's not actually true.
Right.
And I don't like that she's done it before. Yeah, and I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, it's a recurring thing that's happened in other scenes throughout the season, at least.
Especially with what she then, especially with then what she then goes on to, like, make, you know, her own rules and shut other people down.
You're right. She was sort of unlikable, and she kind of seemed like she was just having a bad day the entire episode, you know, like, kind of grumpy at times, you know.
She more than the other girls, I think, more than Quinn, who was always sort of been a really hard worker, and sort of more than Santana, who's always had a lot of feelings. She really kind of seemed, especially in this episode, like the very stereotypical popular girl who just doesn't care. Like, who's just like, whatever, I'm the queen of this school, I can do what I want, like, kind of eye rolling, like, doesn't really. And it was more than just, oh, I'm oblivious to it all. It was really dismissive.
Yeah.
And I went from sort of being, like, ambivalent to her to really not liking her very much.
Yeah. And I think there are some other scenes throughout that kind of support that, so.
Maybe it was the stress of prom that had her in a tussle.
Must have been.
That prom can really stress people out, so. Let's move on here. Sue announces the nominees, who apparently Sue does the morning announcements. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and apparently she does it exactly like the principal from Grease.
Grease! Yeah, totally.
Good catch. I didn't even notice that. We find out that the nominees for prom king are Rick the Stick Nelson, who is Megan's favorite person, Brittany, and Finn Hudson. So, Megan, what were your thoughts about King? Oh, let me get through the queens here, too. And the queen nominations were Missy Gunderson and somebody else who I don't, as far as I can remember, we've been introduced to, and Santana and Quinn. And Becky really wanted to be nominated for prom queen. She went through the halls and smashed xylophones and anything basically that she could find, a lot like Sue did in a lot of season two whenever she was upset. And so, Megan, what were your thoughts about the prom court? Was it what you were expecting? Were you really excited that somebody with a mullet was on the prom court?
Well, a lot of our listeners know me too well. They were like, oh my gosh, somewhere Megan is having a meltdown because Rick the Stick is nominated for prom king. And that was actually a really small court. I know with my high school, it was like, I think there were five people on each side.
Yeah, me too.
So that was pretty small, but I bet they did that because, you know, they only have so much time on the show. Right. But I don't know. I think that it was kind of cool that they tried to get Brittany in as king. I'm surprised that their school is progressive enough that they allowed it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she could have been written in anyway. So, I mean,
that's true. And
obviously, you all know my opinions on that. I don't really care. and then Missy who? Who is that?
Yeah,
Missy.
Nobody knows. My thoughts about this were interesting because, you know, we're supposed to be sort of in this mindset that the Glee Club, New Directions are sort of this outcast in the school. And four of the characters from Glee Club are popular enough to be nominated. So,
yeah, I was thinking this too.
Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about this next scene in the choir room where, you know, we find out that Figgins asked the New Directions to sing at prom. And I'm like, you know, this whole show started with them being the outcast in the show. And now they're all sort of
Right.
So, you know, and he and Will comes in and says, "Congratulations, four of you are in, you know, on the prom court." And I was just like, "Yeah, that's not really what's going on." So Andrew, you kind of saw that as well.
Well, yeah, and I didn't later in the episode. Didn't somebody say that somebody made a reference to us being the cool kids? It may have been Brittany. I'm not sure. It was somebody in the Glee Club.
But oh, really?
Like, yeah, we're the cool kids. And it made me think, like, wait a second. I thought that was the whole point of the show, is that you weren't the cool kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really bizarre. That's all I could think about after it was announced. So.
I agree with you.
I've always thought that, like, with Quinn, Finn, Brittany, and Santana, at least, and probably Mike and Puck, that they started out as like popular kids who came to the Glee Club for whatever reason, like Finn because it was his like true calling or whatever, and Quinn because she was a bitch but then she stayed or whatever. And it was more, I always wondered if the other popular kids, like the other jocks who they did, you know, the other girls who did cheerleading with them or whatever. Santana's still the captain of the Cheerios and Quinn was still the captain, and Finn was obviously still, and so I wonder if maybe the other popular kids like still see those particular people as top dogs that have this like slight failing on the side that no one likes to talk about, you know what I mean, that they're in the Glee Club as well, but it doesn't instantly make them like still no one will cross Santana even though she's in the Glee Club, but she's not a Glee Club loser, she's just like you know, chooses to, and maybe they are like, maybe the popular kids in Glee, the ones who choose to like sit with the rest of Glee Club as opposed to like, you know, be jocks and stuff, are like the elite, most elite of the elite, but they just don't see themselves like that or something.
Yeah, I mean, actually, as you say that, I'm looking here. Santana and Quinn both were and are Cheerios. Finn Hudson's obviously the big football player, and Brittany's the class president. So, you know, maybe these are the more popular kids of the group of them. So maybe there's a little bit.
They definitely are the more popular kids of the group, and I just wonder if the rest of the school sees them as like the popular untouchables who they can get away with being in the Glee Club or whatever.
That makes sense now
that, you know, they've been established for so long, you know, they're like, no one bullies Kurt and stuff anymore because they're too scared to like go there now, I guess.
Plus being seniors, I think you're at a higher level too. So that certainly helps.
Sure, for sure. In the choir room, we find out that Brittany obviously is going to have the prom be dinosaurs. She announces this to the Glee Club, and that all hair gel is banned from the prom. Anyone who shows up with hair gel will be turned away at the door. Obviously, Blaine laughs at this, thinking it's a joke. Turns out it's not a joke, and it's going to be a huge plot device, apparently, through the rest of the episode. So,
what a stupid storyline. Like, I know Brittany's dumb.
It was very stupid, but it was also like her. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier, in the sense that she can shut people down.
Right.
But she can stand there and be like, "Frankly, I don't like the way you look, but like that's fine. That's not bullying. If you know what I mean, like
there's this amount of, you know, sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but Brittany gets away with a lot as a character based on her naivete. Is that how you say it?
Well, so does Becky then, doesn't she? Because Becky is mentally challenged.
Yeah, so it's sort of, you know, as a viewer and maybe even as somebody that's in that room with them, you sort of go back and forth from saying, okay, is that acceptable to say to me? Because, or to say if, you know, it's still very offensive regardless of wherever you are mentally, you know?
The thing with Brittany saying that and with other things that she said, if she'd said that, and being like, oh, frankly, I don't like, you know, I don't like how you look and whatever, and you just be like, oh, that's just Brittany being not having a filter, that would be one thing.
Right.
But the fact that she shuts down other people, that would be one thing that I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's whatever. Like, you know, however I'm going to take it, I know that she's like in a different place to me or whatever. The fact that she has the capacity and like craftiness to, when someone is objecting to her idea, be like, I see you criticizing my idea as bullying, that's not okay, so I'm just going to shut you down. The fact that she knows that but still does it, that's what I'm not okay with. That is really – that duality, that's what this episode was making me just go, a bit. Exactly. So
My point.
The other reason that bothered me too was because, like, she's going to ban hair gel, but, you know, why not ban clothes? Like, why not just make it
like
a toga party or something? Get close to that time period. Like, it didn't make sense that it was just hair gel of all things.
I've heard a few theories about Brittany that are like, that she's secretly, like, really, like that she's got some sort of intelligence on a different plane and that everything she does is like a crafty manipulation to help people. Like I've heard people say that, like, you know, the thing with, I don't know if Andrew saw this episode, if you watch every week or not, but the thing with like the Santana sex tape thing, I've heard people say that she maybe like did it on purpose, not because she thought it would help Santana, but like as a whole crafty thing to like get Santana to regret the, you know, wanting to be famous and get her into college. Oh. If you know what I mean, like that the whole thing was an orchestration, and
which
that the
is legit. That's a valid.
It point. Is, but I do not just saying I do not believe this theory.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a popular theory that.
Well, if it's so popular. How come people don't realize if she was so smart, why would she send out a sex tape of child pornography, including herself? You know what I mean?
They are 18, but...
Were they both 18 during the time of the tape?
I'm assuming, seeing as no one said anything about child pornography, and they did when Puck and Lauren tried to make a sex tape.
Yeah.
But Brittany also doesn't care. Like, she doesn't care that she'd be seen. That means nothing to her. It just seems like, yeah, that there are people who really believe that she's really smart and that everything that she does is like a really crafty manipulation to the end goal, like that she's like this angel above them all being like, you know, like with this Blaine thing, for example, like how it ends up in him being, you know, free or whatever the hell they tried to blood off as. But like that was her end goal. It wasn't because she didn't like hair gel. It was because she wanted.
I mean, yeah, there's an argument to make with that. I mean, we sort of see Brittany do these things and then it ends up helping these other characters. Yeah, so
if you know what I mean, I do not subscribe to this, but it is a popular that I thought I would share with the class.
Very good. Well, maybe we'll see more of that throughout the rest of the season. In the next scene, Rachel sees posters for Finn and Quinn being prom queen and king and basically freaks out, saying that she doesn't want her senior year to end the way I guess she said high school began or the way her relationship began. I'm not exactly sure what she was referring
to. High school, but we're ignoring freshman year.
Yeah.
I guess, see that now.
Yeah, I guess we're just ignoring freshman year. She says that she doesn't want her senior year to end the way high school began, with Finn getting all the attention from the pretty blonde cheerleader. And this obviously is just setting her up for what eventually happens. So we'll move on a little bit here. Joe, in another scene, Joe is helping Quinn walk again for the first time. She wants to practice a lot so that she can walk into the choir room or into her prom and show a big, victorious, rehabilitating, you know, moment for her. Joe says that, quote, "You'll be dancing at prom. I know it."
They're so cute together.
Yeah, I like Joe and Quinn together. And I thought this was a really nice episode. You know, she kind of falls over and they laugh about it, which I thought was great because, you know, there are so many kids out there that probably are dealing with whatever kind of disabilities that people have to deal with. And, you know, this is the first time, at least that I can think of, that any kind of mainstream show has really sort of focused on somebody with a disability and their rehabilitation. You know, with Artie, it's different because he's, you know, he's paralyzed and that's that. With Quinn, you sort of see her really sort of getting over it and one step at a time. And she's had her moments of darkness, but you know, a moment like that with Joe, I thought was really nice. And I hope inspired people that might be in that same position, you know. Mitch, any thoughts on this particular moment?
None too much. I'm liking that we're getting Joe in like a main storyline, and I was just imagining what he would be like, you know, telling like the folks back home, like, "Oh, you know that really popular pretty girl on the show Glee? Well, I'm gonna be able to date her on my character. It's gonna be so cool." Like, it's kind of like a dream come true. Think about it. Like, that's a good way to get in the business. I dated the main girl on Glee, or one of them at least.
Or do you mean the actor that's playing Joe?
Yes.
Yeah. Sam Larson. Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, this is obviously, you know, he has such a bigger storyline than Damian McGinty had. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. Right. There's really no purpose for Rory. He still has no purpose.
No.
So at least somebody's getting a good storyline out of this. So that's a good point, Mitch. We hear more of Becky's inner dialogue that was apparently recorded by Dame Helen Mirren that we heard earlier in the season. We sort of see Becky saying that she knows that she was meant to be the queen. Sue talks to Becky, who apparently declared war on xylophones, which was absolutely hilarious. She's just going through smashing as many xylophones as she could find. She then ransacked the cafeteria line, was destroying everything in sight. And she says eventually that she wanted to be the prom queen like the girl in the commercials. And we see a moment here where Sue sort of says, oh, Becky, those people are drunk alcoholics that don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, I'm sure that went over well for those who were trying to buy advertising on Fox. But that's all I could think of was, you know, Glee's ratings are slipping. I don't know that they really want to be talking about commercials and advertising here. But yeah, so that was a nice moment there with them. Does anybody have any thoughts about this moment?
I just love Sue and Becky, their relationship and their dynamic. I love how she, you know, she's not afraid to be really mean to Becky.
Right, then, exactly.
You know, she'll turn around and be really sympathetic to Becky. And, you know, I like that she doesn't walk on eggshells around Becky.
Yeah, and I think that they're setting this sort of Sue as a mother thing up really well with more moments here with Becky. But that's always been a situation I think that Sue and Becky have had. You know, Sue has always treated Becky just the way anybody else should be treated. You know, sometimes there are hard things to understand. And, you know, she hasn't really treated her any differently than any of the others. And I think that's, again, another message that Glee's really sent out in a great way. Mm-hmm. In the next scene, Rachel starts singing Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie, which is literally one of my least favorite songs on the face of the earth.
Mine too. Thank you.
And then we're joined by Kurt, where my ears start bleeding as he's singing in falsetto. And finally, Blaine saves the day with a little bit of his voice here. So we see Kurt.
I don't know if he saved it, honestly.
No, I'm not sure that he saved it either, but at least it was something different than Kurt's falsetto that I can't take anymore.
That was higher than normal.
He was definitely putting on a weird tone. Like, it's like they've forgotten what ballpark Chris Colfer can hit into.
Because
his songs lately haven't been the tone that's the best tone for him. And I don't understand. Like, late season one, when they realized when Kurt was like a breakout character, like, he had no songs at all. Like, nothing of his own voice for like the first half of the season. Second half of season one was literally Kurt solo every episode because people realized he was the one. He was the breakout character. Every song, every week was perfect for him. Now, every song he does, not so perfect. So I'm not sure what the problem is, with why they're not giving him songs that he sings well.
Andrew, what were your thoughts on this performance?
You know, I actually noticed that too. That was one of the first things I noticed as well. You know, Kurt's tone he was singing in.
To not notice it, you know, especially a casual fan. I feel like that's what a lot of the casual fans really don't like, is Kurt singing in that really high falsetto. And it's not that they don't like it, but it's almost like a turn off. Do you know, you guys know what I'm talking?
He can obviously sing high, but then there are songs that he sung high on and sounded good.
Right.
But I think his voice is changing maybe from season one, like Chris Colfer's voice is actually slightly changing and that he maybe can't, like, the tone of his falsetto is just not as good anymore, and his lower register is stronger. I also noticed, and God, they must be still kicking themselves over this, that they had Kurt sing on his own and Blaine blended with Rachel, because Darren Criss's voice and Chris Colfer's voice sound excruciatingly bad together. They cannot sing together at all. Every time they've sung together, it's been horrible. And the show writers must be kicking themselves in the pants over that, like, having their, you know, the second lead couple not be able to sing together. And they clearly know it by now as well, because every time they've tried to do it, it's failed.
Well, think about
the candles out.
That was horrible.
Don't do it. Why would you do it?
Yeah.
Well, that one was really bad. Candles is bad, but Baby It's Cold Outside was really good. Remember
that?
They
didn't sing together. They didn't harmonize. They sung at each other. It's different. Baby It's Cold Outside was beautiful, but it was, and also on that, they gave, just to be slightly technical, they had Darren Blaine sing above Chris. They had Kurt in his lower register and Blaine, Darren, do falsetto, and Darren actually has a very strong falsetto for someone with a normal voice. And that, the tiny bits where they harmonized had Chris in his lower register, so it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But most of that song was a back and forth, and obviously it worked well. But every time they've sung together, like literally singing at the same time in a harmony, it's been real bad.
Yeah. And let's not forget that, you know, the original casting for Kurt's boyfriend was Kurt Overstreet. So, yeah. You know, maybe they had different intentions with the music in that way. Yeah, but
I still want to hear a song with
them. Absolutely. That would be great. So at the end of the performance, Blaine asks if Rachel is rehearsing since she's sort of just sitting on the stage by herself singing the song. We find out that, eventually Kurt rehashes last year's tragic prom and everything that went bad with it. Kurt comes up with the idea of making an anti-prom party with catered food, held at a hotel, and it'll last much longer than regular prom. They sort of bring up this, we sort of shift into the choir room where they bring it up to everybody in the choir room, obviously. Everybody seems like they're on board for it. It sounds like it's going to be a good idea. And even, you know, as a viewer, I'm sort of subscribing to that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds fun. But then Santana sort of stands up and puts Rachel in her place and says that she needs to deal with her problems and that she's going to prom with her girlfriend with her friends and to, quote, have fun at your I'm a victim party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I was like, oh, yeah, that's totally exactly what's happening. And I really like that Santana sort of stood up and, you know, put Rachel in her place because, you know, for those last couple, up until this point in the episode, I've been totally sort of falling into that Rachel playing the victim card and trying to convince herself that everything is okay when really she maybe hasn't properly adjusted to the fact that her entire hopes and dreams have sort of come down, crashing down around her. Let me just wrap up this sort of scene here and then I'll get your guys' thoughts. Outside of the choir room, Quinn is using her wheelchair situation to gain a sympathy vote from one of the members that was in the prom committee. Finn asks her if she feels bad for doing that, to which Quinn replies, quote, "Votes are votes, Finn. Do you want to win or not?" And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's hard to put myself back into that frame of mind of being in high school and how much that kind of prom king and queen thing really means to people, in particular girls, I think. So I guess it was just hard for me to think that that's all she's ever thinking about. But Andrew, what were your thoughts about this? I heard you sort of react to it.
Yeah, I mean, like she said later in the episode, she does mention, you know, this is all right. I've ever wanted. And then we end up finding out she's still not even happier
than
she got it. So but I guess I can see why she would want to. And I mean, especially when there's girls like Rachel's who sort of do have it all, and I think there is a little competition there.
But compared to Quinn, who's sitting in a wheelchair and was just in a huge accident, for sure.
Right And especially after that, you know, life threatening moment, guess she would have liked to have had that opportunity, even though it didn't end up throwing her.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we move on to the prom night, and Brittany is performing Kesha's song Dinosaur with the help of some Cheerios wearing some dinosaur heads. And I would say if there's another song in the world that I absolutely loathe, it would probably be Kesha's Dinosaur. I had a roommate a couple of years ago who played this song for me, and I was like, turn this off. I'm going to smash your CD if you don't turn this off right now.
I had never heard the song before, but I was sitting there listening to the lyrics being like, is this a real thing that's happening? I
like the song. I think it's clever.
I didn't mind it.
I like Kesha on her own. I like Glee on her own.
I like Kesha, but I was like, I'm very confused as to what's happening.
Yeah, I think combined, they just don't have the
book. I agree, Andrew. I guess with the Glee version, it didn't have as much of a reaction that I had with the original a couple of years ago. And maybe because it is Glee, I sort of liked it a little bit more. But, you know, I don't like Kesha in any capacity. I get that she's feel-good music, but I think there are ways to do that without appearing and degrading yourself the way I think that Kesha kind of does. But, Mitch, what were your thoughts about Dinosaur?
Well, I already heard the song before, so
I was already... Did you hear it on People's First Listen Friday?
No, I did not. No, I actually...
Yes, you did, Mitch.
Yes, of course I did. Yes. How'd you know, John? I knew the song from before. I just had listened to Kesha's album, and I was pretty entertained by it because I liked the big dinosaur's heads they had on. I don't know how they were dancing. They must have been sweating. I was thinking of, like, the Disney mascots that just go around and dance in those parades with those big heads on. That's hot. Really, really hot.
It's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you guys a secret? I used to work at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, tell us all
so
about
it. So I had to dress up as Chuck E. We always made the boys do it, the like kitchen guys, but I had to do it a couple times because they were indisposed. And I had to do it for like birthday parties. And it is like the hottest, stinkiest thing I've ever experienced. Like it smelled like BO and
you were,
sweat and gross.
Kind of choreography, right?
Huh?
You weren't doing this kind of choreography either, so it was...
No, I was just, shaking my hand around and, like, wiggling my tail, because I guess Chuck E. Cheese is a big mouse, you know.
Right. Very good. But,
yeah, I was actually a little sad that they didn't feature the 80s song, Dinosaur. I don't remember what the title is, but they played it in the background in the episode. It was like, open the floor, get on the... Or,
oh, yeah.
Open the door, get on the floor.
Everybody do the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it wasn't that version, but
sad.
Yeah, that's a sad face. So yeah, that was I liked watching her dance. I think she can dance all day, all night, and I will love anything that she does. Heather Morris is just amazing to watch.
Yes.
What's that, Natalie?
I just said she just needs to not talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a fun dance. It was a unique dance.
Yeah, totally.
I've never had a prom because we don't do that in Australia. We have school formals. We have a formal, which is more like it's a dinner and dance.
Yeah.
But we generally have a DJ and not a live band, and a live band probably wouldn't be students. Is that common? Do they have people sing in costumes at
prom?
Oh,
no. Yeah, at least with mine, there was a DJ, but nobody was singing.
I'd also like to point out, just because I wanted to talk about this for a second, seeing as it is very different here, is that we definitely, in Australia, like, there may be some schools that are doing it because they want to be like Americans, but, like, we have never, ever, there's always school, year 12 formal, year 11 formal or something like that, which is the same thing, and you can invite a date or whatever, though a lot of schools here are single sex, so that if you go on your own, it's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
You could bring a date from outside the school. They do not do any of this queen and king stuff. Like, they never elevate, like, they're not like, oh, let's gonna vote. Like, we do have votes during the year for a school captain, like, you know, like class president, but we don't have any of this, like, oh, you're the prettiest, you know, beauty queen in the school. Australia has a very, very big, if any of you are familiar with, like, kind of the psychological term tall poppy syndrome, which is basically where a society is very, very against elevating, like, anyone above each other. Australia suffers very hard, more than a lot of other countries, from tall poppy syndrome. We do not like to elevate anyone up above the crowd, so we definitely don't have prom queen and king and all of that kind of thing.
I will say, in my experience at my particular high school, we did not have a prom king and queen, but we have a homecoming king and queen, which is definitely... my homecoming was like on ESPN. We have a huge state-of-the-art stadium. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I have a very much small town rivalry between the two high schools in my town that was like national news for a couple of years. So that that homecoming king and queen thing is definitely very much like that. And I think that, you know, Natalie, this is a great point to bring up, because a lot of this episode kind of was a throwback to a lot of these teen comedies from the 80s. I drew a lot of
prom queen.
Exactly. And I feel like in American
cares?
And I think like in American culture and society, that this sort of prom king and queen stuff is still going on, and it's rooted in these sort of films that are showing this sort of elevation, and, you know, and it's a traditional thing to do, that at your senior prom. So a lot of that I think Glee, this episode is pulling from, and these, like, I can't think of any of them. I'm thinking Carrie, you know, even Rachel mentioned Carrie, and she sort of gets the pig's blood. And that's a very iconic moment in American cinema. So I feel like, you know, and Glee's done that before. We saw that with the the disco episode was a great sort of pull. We see the Grease episode is pulling from traditional teen cinema. So I think that, yeah, it's not as big of a deal with the people I know, like that I am, that are my age and that I grew up. I mean, Andrew or Megan, did you guys have prom king and queen, and was it as big of a deal?
Yeah, but yeah. None of it happened at prom. It happened before prom, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so you already knew who was the prom king at
right.
the prom.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the big build-up on the episode was just kind of like for storytelling sake, for the excitement sake.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Megan, you said yours happened at prom.
Yeah, ours was at prom, but the votes were like before prom. Like, I think we did them a couple days before.
So it's
prom.
Not like, it's not just like best dressed on the night or something like that. Like,
no,
definitely a popularity contest.
It definitely is a popularity contest. But I mean, I was excited to say that from my senior prom, at least, you know, it wasn't as much of a popularity contest as it could have been. Like, the people who won were really awesome people. Yeah. And I mean, they just happened to be popular as well, because, you know, I was just at one of those schools where that's just how that worked.
Mitch, what about you?
I was about to say, John, my feelings are very hurt because you're saying only the popular kids win the prom king and homecoming king. I got both of those, and I am not a popular kid. Okay? No.
Wow. Let's write down what the word popular means. It means liked by a lot of people, which means that if you won and it was by voted, you were liked by a lot of people.
Right, yeah.
I was just saying, John was saying it almost like, oh, popularity contest to be looked down upon. Like, I'm just joking, John. You know I'm just joking.
I know you're teasing. I just want to clarify. I wasn't saying that it was a bad thing. I'm just saying it was literally, you know, who had the most sort of votes or who was liked the most, I guess, is how you look at it. So not in a bad way.
I guess at some places it's like the, you know, the bitchy kind of plastics crowd, whereas some places there are people who are legitimately have bonds with all different groups in the school and are legitimately the dictionary definition of the word popular, regardless of whether they're like the cool group or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Mitch, tell us being prom king.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well,
and this is weird because you have a Finn Hudson voice.
Okay, I have a Finn Hudson voice, and I also used to wear that hairstyle that he wears. When I was crowned, I was really upset because I spent like 2 hours doing my hair, and that stupid crown ruined my hair. My whole day was ruined.
Oh, those jerks.
That's the only thing you remember from being crowned prom king?
Yes. Because other than that, I was too much of a shock to like wow, that really happens. Like, I thought like the legitimate like kids who play sports all the time with like the really like the popular kids, like, you know, they're cool kids, and I'm just like, I was like the band geek. That's why I was just I was shocked. I was very, you know, humbled by that. That's all I remember from the experience. I was just my hair. No.
Go ahead, Natalie.
I was going to say, can I ask, and you can take this out. Were you out at high school?
Yeah, actually, I was.
Would it be?
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That's a really cool school. Like,
it's probably even cooler
that
I come from a really small town. Like, my class was a class of 55 kids.
Oh, wow.
So, like, it's not like one of those, like, oh, small town, we'll call it Hicks or something, even though I live in New York.
Right, right.
You know, it was, people were just pretty cool with me being gay at my school because they, I guess, just kind of didn't care.
That's wonderful, though.
What was that?
What was that, Natalie?
I said, I want to go to your school. Can't we make Glee be set at your school?
Like, that'd be kind of fun.
Then there wouldn't be any drama, though, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
All right, well, that's fantastic, Mitch. I didn't know that about you. I'm glad that I came over and asked you that so that you could give us your experience. So,
Just because, well, I mean, this is so public service announcement. It's not supposed to come off like that. This is just legitimate. Like, I would tell this to a friend. Like, I used to think, you know, being gay means you can't always be successful and you're always going to be seen as just the gay kid or whatever. And I can honestly say that that's not always the truth. Like, you can go and do things if you want to, I guess, win prom king or, you know, get a really nice job and still have a family and all that kind of stuff. I promise you, that delusion can go away. It will.
So you're saying it gets better, basically.
It gets better. It's not a public service announcement, though. I'm telling you, I would tell this to, like, a friend.
I agree.
Legitimately, you know?
I agree.
Because I wish someone told me that back then. I needed that confirmation. And I kind of had to find it myself.
Just look at Neil Patrick Harris.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or yeah. Anderson Cooper. I'd love to be Anderson Cooper.
Mitch.
He's a journalist too. Go ahead, Natalie.
I was going to say Mitch is the new Neil Patrick Harris, but maybe he'd rather be the new Anderson Cooper.
I'd love to be the new Anderson Cooper. That'd be great.
Very good. That'll be your new name, Mitch Cooper. I don't know. Okay, let's keep Mitch going.
I'm related to Blaine.
Finn goes to look for Quinn in the bathroom because he wants to make sure that she can make it onto the stage when she's crowned. It turns out that Quinn is actually standing up and walking in the bathroom. Finn calls her out for lying about being able to walk, since this is the moment where she sort of says she wanted to make a grand entrance. Finn is pissed because he could have been with Rachel at her anti-prom party. Quinn begs Finn to stay for her because she wants him to stay because it means so much to her, and this is what she's been waiting for her whole life, this moment of being crowned and dancing with the prom king. And there was a moment here, I don't know about you guys, but I was really nervous that they were maybe going to have a romantic moment here.
No.
No, I mean,
I see what you're coming
from. I thought that too.
Yes, but I don't know. I felt that, like, in the last few episodes, like since the show's come back on, like since the hiatus, I have felt like that the Finn and Rachel thing is unbreakable. Like, it's totally untouchable. Like, that I was really shocked by how much they've made me, like, really believe that.
Yeah, I totally am on board for that as well. I just thought in that moment it kind of seemed a little iffy in some way.
I thought that maybe Quinn might be, like, say something, like, you know, but not that Finn would ever.
Oh, no, not Finn at all.
I don't think Finn would ever be. But I loved what he was saying to her. Like, I was being like, you go, Finn. Like, yeah, it's harsh, but yeah, like, good on you for saying those things, because I really approved. I saw someone saying, like, you know, at least it's continuity that, like, yeah, Quinn had this accident and stuff, but it hasn't actually changed her personality. She still has this kind of aspect to her, really, you know, bad aspect to her personality. And I really loved that he sort of said all of that, and like that he sort of said, you know, what he thought about Rachel, and it was all, I really loved him in that scene, because we saw in the previews, obviously, the bit that we're going to see next where he's like yelling at her to stand up, and everyone saw the preview with no context and everyone just thought he was bullying her or like accusing her of lying. But now that we actually know that he was lying, you know, like that she was lying, like that it's sort of, I really back him. Sort of, I really like it.
Andrew, were you the one that said you kind of thought that as well? That,
yeah, but then I thought, well, Glee's never been this shocking, so surely that's not what it's about to happen.
Right, yeah, I kind of had that moment too. I don't know. I thought Finn was maybe a little tiny bit over the top the way he was freaking out, but I guess when it's your senior prom and you're not with your girlfriend who you are eventually going to marry because of a lie, I guess you could understandably be upset. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the hotel room where Blaine, Puck, Rachel, Kurt, and Becky try to start their anti-prom party. They sort of have the moment where you sort of hear crickets and the hotel room is sort of empty and barren and there's not really a lot going on. Becky is going insane and wants to go absolutely crazy. She apparently brought condoms to the anti-prom party.
I thought she was drunk or something.
I know. She got kind of nuts there. So then there's a moment where she sort of screams, "Worst anti-prom ever." And Megan, what were your thoughts about this whole scene when they first entered the hotel room?
Oh, it was kind of awkward. It was funny. I was actually surprised that Puck came. I mean,
yeah, I was too.
Was he a last minute addition, I wonder? Because I didn't.
No, he said he was in on it. He said he was in on it in the original scene.
Oh, that's right. Because he could spike the punch.
In that original scene, I did really like, I will say as well, like throwing back to where Rachel announced that, is, you know, when Santana objected to it and stuff, it was really like, that moment as well, I didn't get to say it earlier, but she said something like, she started out being really angry and accusatory of Rachel, but basically broke it down saying, like, this is one of the last chances that we're all going to be together as well. And, like, it was kind of like everyone seems to be really focused on that at the moment, like that, you know, even if it's Santana who can't express herself without getting angry first before getting to her actual feelings. Mm-hmm. But everyone, you know, Puck as well in this case, is like really into just being like, you'd never think that like the first season, like Puck would go and hang out privately with Rachel, Kurt and Blaine.
But right.
Like it's just great. Like it's just so like, it, you know, it's so
very, they're growing up.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. It's so cute.
Yeah, and I think they're also, and you know, this is just my analysis from what I was saying earlier, I feel like they're sort of pulling from those teen comedies from the 80s as well, because, and even, not even the 80s, the 90s, you know, especially I'm thinking American Pie here, where they all are noticing they're coming together in this one thing where, you know, they have their prom, it's their last, they're the last moments of high school, and despite their differences, they want to come together. That's rooted in a lot of these 80s and 90s teen yeah. comedy. So again, that's just sort of an something I noticed.
Kind of Breakfast Club-y, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. Yeah. Perfect example. So back at prom, Santana's performing I Love You Like a Love Song by Selena Gomez with backup by Tina and Brittany. Sam and Mercedes are dancing and wave to Shane, who is dancing with a noticeably skinnier girl. I don't know if you guys picked up on that. Maybe that's just me being
much of it, but yeah,
I hope I'm not being object, you know, sort of looking at it in a certain way, but that it was just something I noticed, that he went from Mercedes, who is, as you know, self-identified as being a big girl, to this very skinny girl. So I thought that was an interesting moment. But Shane waves back, and they seem to be on good terms. And I have a feeling that'll sort of be the end of Shane, maybe. But maybe we'll see more of him.
Sam Sadies. He's just so good. He's the best TV boyfriend. He's just so good.
Yeah, as Natalie put it in a previous episode, I just love when he speaks words. So, yeah.
Me too, Natalie.
Yeah.
I just do. He's just so legit. Like, he's just...
Yeah.
Was Shane he wasn't a Glee Project winner. He was just a random person like Sugar, right?
Right, who? Yes.
Shane,
yeah. He was just...
Yeah. He was just a random... Where was Sugar in this episode again? Like, if Rory's at the prom, like, where's Sugar? Like, why did they just, like, make these people vanish? Like, have some consistency.
Well, and
like,
especially because they sort of pan to the audience and you see random people just, like, cuddling and kissing and doing weird things. So why not have a moment where, you know, Sugar can have her moment on the screen?
Maybe like in their contracts or like X amount of episodes. That's the best thing, because we know she's in the Sugar's in the next one because of the photos that were released.
Right.
Sure.
Actually, surprised that Sugar wasn't nominated for prom queen.
Yeah,
right?
That would make sense. Yeah,
she could have bought her way up there. She's so rich. But isn't she supposed to be dating Rory at this point?
It's a little bit uncertain about them.
They were really unclear about that. Like,
yeah. So in this scene, as the I Love You Like a Love Song is continuing, Finn and Quinn are dancing, Quinn in her wheelchair. Finn is sort of annoyed that she's still sitting in her wheelchair and is screaming at Quinn to stand up, as we had just mentioned a few moments ago. She says no, and there's sort of an altercation between Finn and Joe. But just at the last moment, Sue comes in and breaks them up. And Finn's just so pissed off, he just ends up abruptly leaving prom. And we are led to believe he's heading to the anti-prom.
Nice throwback to the year before as well, where Sue's like, you know, am I going to have to eject you from yet another prom? Because, if you are only a season 3 Glee watcher, Finn got kicked out of the last prom for fighting with Jesse about Rachel. And it was amazing. Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
It was amazing.
So back at the anti-prom room, Blaine is watching Tabitha's takeover.
I love it.
Yeah.
Complaining about Brittany's ban on her hair gel, which I love that little moment because Tabitha's takeover, again, I mentioned this on a previous episode. There are moments where Glee sort of goes to these sort of moments or these things in pop culture that I really feel like I'm the only person that watches them or knows about them. And then
this is the second Tabitha reference.
Oh, is
and
it?
I feel like I'm not gonna age well. Yeah. When Sue first becomes like the coach of booty camp, Will is complaining about it and he says, I've got an email from Kurt, it says Mr. Shoe save us, Coach Sue is meaner than Tabitha. and like I don't feel like these references are going to age the show very well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
Tabitha's Takeover is definitely not one of those shows we're going to remember when we're 50 and 60 years old. But
I don't know. What's Tabitha's Takeover? I'm not sure. Is it a show on Bravo, I'm assuming?
It's a show where this... Well, Natalie, you can probably talk about it because she's Australian, isn't she?
But people here don't really know who she is. I only know it from, like, internet. It's this. It's a reality show where she used to be. She was a hairdresser, like a really famous hairdresser, and she basically would go and spend like a reality show doing like a week or a month in failing hair salons and basically show them how to turn their businesses around, if you know what I mean, and make them successful. Okay. She's like really controlling mean and all of this stuff. And then it branched out to not just do hair salons. It like does all businesses now. So that's what that is. But she's this bossy kind of glamorous.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She'll call you out.
Not totally. Sure,
regardless. But yeah, it's very like, I'm not surprised Kurt loves it. But
right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So Finn shows up to the anti-prom just as Rachel's coming out of the bathroom in her prom dress. He says that prom sucks without everyone there and that he really wants everybody to come back. Puck says that he'll go next year, obviously, since he's flunking. And he and Becky stay behind, and Becky suggests that they play strip poker, which we'll get to that scene here in a second.
If they've said Brittany's failing all her classes as well, does that mean she gets to graduate because she's class president? Like, I don't – is that what that whole scene was about in the beginning? Because are we expecting her not to –
That's a good question. I mean, I guess we'll have to find out what happens. I'm not really sure where they're going with that, but, you know, Puck, we at least see a little bit more direct results as to why he's flunking. So,
well, we got confirmation, John, when Puck was kind of just like, no, Finn, you go to prom. I'll go next year. Because
yeah, like he's assuming that he was going to still be at the school.
Right. And that was our tiny confirmation for that. But I agree with you, John, that you said this in a previous Glee Chat episode. Why is Brittany allowed to be on the Cheerios if she's flunking classes? That does not make sense. Didn't Vin have to worry Natalie about that in the past?
Natalie and I were texting about this the other night, and it's hard to say. I mean, she's not only on the Cheerios, but she's the class president as well, two of which are extracurricular activities that you would assume you'd have to be keeping at least decent grades with to be on. So, you know, that's an interesting question, and I guess they'll write that all out in the next couple of episodes.
Well, yeah, Natalie, what's like the master plan that Brittany has, according to the fans, for like flunking out of all of her classes?
I just have no time for the like double standards on this show, so yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Well, in the next episode, Finn and Rachel arrive to prom. Brittany runs up to Blaine and Kurt, who are just behind them, and says, "There's no hair gel, Blaine." she says she can smell it. But then, I guess at the last moment, she says that she'll make a. This sort of goes back to what you were saying, Natalie, where she says she'll make the exception for him. And we sort of see Blaine come
and
in.
And Kurt encourages him to do it anyway. Like,
exactly. And the hashtag Mr. Broccolihead was put up on screen, which I thought was just kind of tacky, if you ask.
Yeah, I don't think it's
Encouraging trending topics, are they? I didn't get that on my stream, but they're like being like, hey, make this trend interesting.
Yeah.
And then also my local Fox channel, they like to call themselves the Weather Authority. So on top of Glee Fox and Mr. Broccolihead, whatever it was, there's also hashtag WX Authority. And it's like, which do I use here?
Wow.
There's three.
I think you should tweet every tweet about Glee with WX Authority.
Like literally three hashtags on the screen simultaneously. It's like, give me a break.
Yeah, Andrew, that's ridiculous.
You should take a picture of that and tweet it.
Yeah, maybe
I do not approve of. I understand like people being like, oh, tweet about Glee, like you're supposed to Glee under this hashtag. I do not approve of the make this funny quote trend. Like, it's like, I thought that stuff happened naturally. Like, okay,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
well, that's like against that for a while, right? Because like if you have a bunch of hashtags in one tweet, they don't even count it because it's sort of spamming. And I feel like this is sort of
I mean, sometimes I wonder about hashtags if there are like they, you know, if they do have, because sometimes very specific things trend and you'd think that it'd be like more mixed phrasing or something like that. But anyway, back to Mr. Broccolihead. Can I just say something about that whole like non-plot line, because I have to, because I'm me.
Yes.
God, what? Like, okay, we'll try and make words.
Yeah.
It's not really worth words, honestly, but like, okay, I get it. Like, I really liked in the very beginning, like, when they were discussing it and he was talking to Rachel and Kurt and he kind of had that, like, meltdown. Like, that was really, like, unexpected and bizarre. Kurt has never seen him without hair gel? Like, really? Like,
yeah, I thought that was interesting.
In bed? Like, okay, like, are we really gonna, like, are we gonna talk about what that sort of means, that he's in a year never seen him without hair gel?
That's I don't think it's too crazy, though, because, like, my friend, she is super self-conscious, and, like, she, her one boyfriend, they were together 2 years, and he never saw her without makeup.
Oh my god!
Really?
Anal retentive That's about it.
Weird.
Well, I know some girls who like won't.
Okay to me, like it's not. It feels like it's not like honest, and I don't know. It's regardless. I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's like bad of them or whatever, but it doesn't feel quite right. And it seems. I mean, it seems a little ridiculous. So I am glad that they have sort of addressed the hair gel. Given that people won't, maybe people will shut up about it now.
Andrew, what were you saying?
No, I was just I wasn't a fan of this plot line. I thought it was kind of fun, though. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. It was fun.
Okay.
It was rather pointless. It was one of the more pointless plot lines on Glee, and I'm surprised they don't usually give pointless plot lines to Kurt and Blaine because they're such a major couple, if you know what I mean. Like, sometimes there'll be like a joke side plot with, you know, Sam or Rory or something, and it was just weird to see that. But
you know, guys, I'm more curious. I know we're kind of off topic, but not altogether from Clean right now. But I'm still wondering what the show would have been like if we had Sam being Kurt's boyfriend. Because you just mentioned Sam, and it made me think about it.
Just stop giving me that false hope. Stop talking about it.
But like, did they? When did they decide that they were going to bring in Darren? Do you guys know? As his boyfriend?
Yeah, I know when he was cast. So I don't know if that would, like, you could track that back to like if they had already started. It was definitely after the start of the season. They started the
season two.
They
had Sam.
Start of season two. They'd already cast Sam before season two started, and Darren was cast once the season had already started airing, so sometime in September or something like that.
That
so what we're saying, we're saying that, like, season two, episode one, when Kurt was hitting on Sam, that was legitimately supposed to be a storyline where they were going to be together. Wow, that makes me really angry.
And there was even a mention, and, you know, I kept waiting for it to happen, waiting. And there were certain moments with Sam where he says, oh, you know, I have a lot of secrets myself, when he's talking to
Quinn. Yeah, I totally thought that was, I honestly definitely thought that that was going to be...
Yeah, like he was going to come out.
Well, that duets episode, I loved that, and I really thought it... I think halfway through writing that duets episode is when they decided not to do that plot line, because...
Well, didn't Overstreet have a problem with it, you had mentioned before? Like, he didn't want to
get... I don't want to, like, get quoted on that, but yeah, I have heard that. I've heard that he was not 100% comfortable with it, despite the fact that although I don't know if that's what he was hired for, then I really don't know if that's true. Allegedly, they started out with that in mind, and then they thought they were going to, the chemistry with him and Quinn was better. No, it wasn't, but they thought that the chemistry was better, and that was going to be the plot. So I don't really know why they have, what made them decide not to. And I still think that, you know, when Darren was very first cast, when Blaine was very first cast, it was not meant to be the boyfriend. It was meant to be a legitimately two gay friends as a support system. And it was going to be, like, good, you know what I mean? Like, a good
makes sense.
Thing to see. And it was, like, halfway through the whole, like, a few episodes into the Blaine and Kurt thing that literally people were so into it that it forced their hand, kind of, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Like, and,
So let's move on here a little bit more with the episode. Joe, Rory, Sam, Artie, and Mike perform What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction. And it's pretty fun. I mean, it was a good probably 2 minutes of just them performing. And I have the One Direction infection. I know that Megan does as well. And I love that. I love their version. I mean, I was talking to some of the Glee Chat listeners on Twitter about this particular performance when it was released last week. And yeah, I guess there are a lot of similarities. I mean, when you have a huge, you know, when you have five boy band type voices singing together, they're going to sound very similar. But there are a couple moments where Sam has those little sort of solo runs that I think are, I just like it better. I don't know.
I do not have the One Direction infection, mainly because of the only thing I know about One Direction is that I can't take them seriously because of that one. I don't know if you guys know about like the source of One Direction, like the origins of One Direction, like them studying on the X Factor.
Yeah.
But the first thing I ever knew about One Direction was that on the red carpet for the finale show, after the winner was announced, one of the guys from One Direction with a live mic whispered into that guy's ear, "Oh my God, you're going to get so much cat metaphor for sex from this." And it was like broadcast live to the whole of the UK. And I think it was Louis Tomlinson that said it, or maybe it was one of them. And they said to the winner, who was not a member of One Direction, like it was another group, they were like, "Oh my God, congrats, bro, you're going to get so much."
Oh my God.
That word.
That's like the first rule of anything on TV. You always should assume that every single mic is live in camera. That's so dumb.
And so got broadcast live to the whole, and that's been my mental association with One Direction. And so I'm so glad that all of these small children, it's their favorite thing. So.
Well, thanks for raiding on our parade, Natalie. Megan and I continue dancing to One Direction.
Don't matter.
Talking about the children.
No, I understand.
Did I tell you about the cute little concert my neighbor girls performed? That was one of the songs they recorded off the radio and sang awkwardly in their garage while they were walking around in circles. It was adorable. Yes, I have the One Direction infection. Actually, nice. I really liked the Glee performance. I know, John, I was saying to you that I thought that the One Direction version was, you know, always the best.
Yeah.
But I think seeing them perform it made me like it more.
Yeah, I totally agree.
They're all really, you know, good-looking guys as well. And the Glee people, not the One Direction people. The One Direction people look
The One Direction guys scare me a little.
But, this is tying back into the popularity thing and the way all the girls were responding to them and everyone being like into it and like being like, "Yes, Sam," like, you know, "Joe," like they're all like hot guys singing a popular song. Once again, how are these people allegedly unpopular?
Right,
like,
exactly.
I'm not sure if they're still trying to sell that it's unpopular, but it's sometimes they keep throwing back to it and it's like, that's not really flying anymore, you know, like
a slushy in the face or something.
Like if someone turned around now and slushied one of them, you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Andrew, do you have One Direction infection by any chance?
I do, actually. I mean, I'm only a big fan of the single. I haven't given the whole album a listen yet, but I'm all about the boy band. So.
All right, well, you can come and join Megan and I dancing in the streets to it. And Natalie and you guys can just go.
I already do, so you guys can join me.
Sounds good.
Am I the only one who enjoyed Friday Last Prom, though? Like, I thought this was the equivalent of it.
Flawless. That Friday was flawless. It was their cover of that was amazing. And
it was legitimate, right? Yeah. Like I had it as the introduction to my vlog for my Friday vlogs. It started off with the Glee version. It was perfect. I was like, yes.
It was and it was so realistic that like, yes, kids in high school would know about Friday, and if they were going to be singing a LOL song at their prom, they would like. It was very legit. It was like realistic, and it was funny, and it sounded good. And I'm so upset that out of all of the Glee tour show that I went to, that they didn't play Friday and they played at the one in the American tour, but not the UK tour that I got to see.
Meanwhile, at the anti-prom room, which is just Puck and Becky, they are actually playing strip poker, and Puck is all but naked, sitting in his boxers on the bed. Becky says that she's pissed that she wasn't nominated like the girl in the commercial for prom queen. Puck comes up with the idea to cut a crown out of a box for both him and Becky, and she eventually is given the crown as anti-prom queen. She looks in the mirror and says that she is so happy, and it's sort of a sweet moment to see Becky get what she wants, because it doesn't even necessarily need to be the big ovation or whatever that the actual prom is. She just wants to feel appreciated and loved in some way, and I thought that that was a really sweet moment. Yeah,
it was a beer box too, which was funny.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought it was a beer box, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So good for Becky. She wins anti prom queen.
he cut that box really quick.
Yeah, I know
he did.
Too.
Yeah, we thought so.
I'm like, I was like, oh, yeah, you did that really quick. And then I was, like, sitting there being like, set dressing. They must have had this box cut and had to set it up so it looked like it was legit or cut it and take it. I was, like, really sitting there thinking about the technicality.
Well, it was too perfect. Like, every...
And he's really good with arts and crafts, suddenly.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, so in the next scene, Rachel is apologizing to Quinn, saying that she was jealous and irrational at the way she handled the Finn and Quinn campaign for Prom King and Queen. She admits that Quinn means a lot to her and that she is proud to say that she has found a way for her and Quinn to be friends, considering when they were first introduced to each other, they hated each other's guts. Rachel says that she voted for her for Prom Queen. And then at the last moment, we see Santana walking into the room with the box of votes and says, stop making out with Barry. And
they have to go
count the votes. And all I can think about is the February fandom and fans that are probably freaking out about the moment.
The production definitely knows about that fandom, and they have been trying to write like stuff in.
Is that a large fandom?
I don't know why they feel the need to do that, but they've definitely been like giving some fan service to the Faberry fans this season.
Yeah, for those that don't know, the Faberry fans are huge. They're almost sort of in the same way that the Klain fans are. I mean,
definitely the biggest like lesbian ship on the show. Like, I mean, obviously we've got, you know, Brittany and Santana, which is obviously real, but like it's definitely the biggest fictional. I'd say it's the biggest fictional ship on the show. Currently.
And we've seen a lot of these
of any gender.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've definitely seen a lot of these sort of minor little plugs that Glee has made in the last couple of episodes that sort of refer back to things that are happening in the fandom. I mean, you know, we saw the sort of candles moment with Blaine. And the others are sort of escaping me at the moment, but there's definitely, we've talked about them on the show.
So. I think the focus on the hair gel, the non-plot line, I think that was completely
just
people who shut up about it. Like, and I mean, and I did, you know, I did think it was, you know, slightly ridiculous that they had to make, you know, a point about it, obviously. Yeah. But it was, yeah, I think that was definitely because it's something people talk about constantly because, it's, you know, Darren's fans are very loud. Yeah. And they always go on about his... like hair being really bad on the show. And I mean, honestly, if you compare it to season 2, it wasn't that glued down with hair gel either. It was like styled, but not like pasted to his head. So I don't know why they felt the need to use more, but they definitely have been going on about like, just let him have his own hair, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, all wondering if, you know, in canon, Blaine even had curly hair or if it was just meant to be like, if it was just meant to have like different hair without gel and blah, blah. So I think maybe they just wanted to either shut people up or you know, pay tribute to that. But I don't know, like, I always find it very weird when they focus on, like, or even reference that they are writing things in directly, like, for fandom, if you know what I mean. Like, it makes me wonder if they have, you know, any of their own ideas or if they'd go with their own idea even if it was the opposite of what they thought fandom wanted.
Or that maybe they're listening to Glee Chat, you know, as part of the fandom and incorporating that stuff in.
If you're listening to Glee Chat, I would like for the finale to have Kurt and Blaine breaking up because that's and Sam finally and Kurt finally realizing that are MFEO because they because Sam would be a bro who'd just be like, honey, shut up whenever Kurt whines rather than like being like rolling puppy dog. So that is what I would like from Glee.
You know, you guys said at the beginning that you know, nobody probably listens who works on the show, but our other podcast, another hypeable podcast, Secret Diaries Chat, which is Secret Circle and Vampire Diaries, the production company for those two shows, the ladies in the office listen. They told me at South By. I was like, oh, really?
That's awesome.
So you never know who's
listening. Andrew, we were just talking in the last episode about how it's, at least I've been noticing,
it's a little eerie.
Yeah, that some of the things we've said on the show a couple months later sort of appear on Glee. And it's one of those things that, you know, maybe we're digging, but, you know, we have mentioned that Megan, you know, in one episode was talking about how much she loves Hall & Oates. which is like an obscure, in some ways, an obscure band, definitely not something that like teenagers are going to typically know. And a couple weeks later, they appeared on the show, or their music did. Yeah, so I mean, it's a possibility.
You never know.
John,
it would be so funny if they were sort of like on the show and then someone's like, you know, mentions podcasts or something on Glee, because then I'm going to know for sure that they're listening.
Mm-hmm. You know, John, I think it was a tease when they did Cell Block Tango, because we haven't talked about that.
Yeah.
And you know how I was the one that... Okay, it's been like three episodes since I've been able to been on and talk about that. All right, so I know you talked about how excited I was last episode of Glee Chat. Yes. I was. The reason I was excited is because I wanted Quinn. I said specifically, Glee creators, you're listening to me right now, I said specifically, I want Quinn to go to jail for trying to win back the adopted baby, and then she is going to sing the song. She was not even involved. Thank you to everyone who was talking about how Sugar got a part as opposed to Quinn. I was so upset. So upset.
Yeah. Not even wasn't nearly even as excited. In that episode,
she literally was not.
Not even in the background, was not there.
They really.
It was like they're just like laughing in my face, like, here, Mitch, we're going to give you the song, but you're not going to get Quinn at all. Very funny.
Very good. Okay, well, we're going to say goodbye to Andrew at the moment because tonight is the Voice finale and he has some hypeable obligations. So anyway, Andrew, thanks so much for being on the show. And if you ever want to come back, we're going to be covering the Glee Project this summer. So maybe you'll be watching that and want
to come back. Absolutely. Well, we were talking about being on, I wanted to be on the finale episode, but it's coincidentally my birthday. So,
your birthday watching Glee, I sympathize.
Like, yeah, well, no, it's not that. It's that Darren's throwing a birthday party for me, so I kind of can't say no to him. So,
who is?
Just kidding.
Oh, I was like, Darren, who? I know this person.
I thought you said Darren, and then I was like, no, I misheard that, and you said your parents, and then I realized you said a type John.
Well, yeah, in reality, that's probably, no.
That's okay. We'll all see each other at LeakyCon, and we'll make Darren throw John a party, and it'll be really awkward for everyone.
My God, don't say that, please. My legs are shaking, so. Okay, Andrew, thanks so much. All right,
thanks, guys.
Come back on anytime.
All right.
Bye, Andrew.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, so yeah, let's move on a little bit. The February fans are obviously freaking out. I'm sure it was probably a trending topic on Twitter from its own accord, not because it was placed on the screen. And let's see here. So we find out some more inner monologue from Becky, also recorded by Dame Helen Mirren. She says, quote, "You've made it to senior prom with a crown on your head and a hot piece of booty on your arm."
Oh,
and
my God.
Becky
described... You and Beck both did a really nice British accent tonight. Can we just do the whole show in British?
I actually order subs from Subway with different accents just so I can...
I do that from Taco Bell drive-thru, except Natalie, you'll enjoy this. One time I tried to do an Australian accent and it morphed into a terrible British / I don't know what it was accent. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah, if I hear an Australian like Natalie, I think I would probably be able to do it very well. But if you said do an Australian accent, it would be a little bit harder for me to do.
John, British- that's probably why they hate you at Subway. You know how how they don't like you and they were like closing up early on you and stuff and like glaring at you? It's because you do fake accents.
Yeah, for those that don't know, I was complaining because I stopped at a Subway one night at like 8:20 and they don't close until 9, folks. And they were like giving me looks and giving me the eye about me coming in to order a sub at 8:20 after they've already mopped the floor. That's 40 minutes. So you could drive, you know, a good 300 miles in 4 minutes. So, or 40 minutes. I'm over the place. Enough with this. Let's keep going here. Becky distracts Sue at the prom so that Puck can pour what appears to be alcohol into the punch. I wasn't exactly sure what exactly the point of that was, other than maybe just to be drinking at your prom. Am I right in that? I mean, was there another motive of some sort?
I think she was just trying to help Puck out because that was his dream, you know, to spike the punch again. And her dream was to be queen. And so she was just talking return the favor.
So Puck gets his dream of spiking the punch. And we move on to Quinn and Santana counting the votes. As it turns out, Quinn won prom queen by one vote. And if you remember, Rachel said that she voted for her. So it was almost Rachel's was doing here. Quinn and Santana reflect on their high school years in a moment that I thought was really sort of, I don't know, it was just another one of those moments like I mentioned in a previous episode where I was sort of caught myself reminiscing along with them, you know? And
yeah,
he sort of had the moment where they were talking about high school, and Quinn makes a note that though she won by one vote, it doesn't feel any different. She sort of realizes, okay, here's the big moment. I've won prom queen, but nothing has really changed. And
yeah.
So she asks Santana, don't you want to leave this place having made a difference? And at this point, I'm thinking, oh, God, so here we go. We're going to see something. They're up to something. They just reminisced about, you know, high school and about sometimes maybe that they were the terror behind a lot of the problems of that school. And I was expecting something terrible to happen, but we'll find out here in a second what actually happened. So, Natalie, what were your thoughts about this scene?
I feel like that they're trying to make a lot of like kind of wrapping up scenes, like that every significant yeah. relationship on the show is going to have a little moment of like personal moment of like goodbye, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, and that was sort of a part of that. And obviously, I mean, I don't know why Quinn has been so hung up on prom queen anyway. Is that something I have no perspective on? But, you know, it is, you know, nice to see that it, you know, she was like, whatever, and, you know, Santana was like, whatever, if it's not going to be Brittany and me, then I don't, like, care. I don't want to be Finn's prom queen, so, like, whatever.
point, yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. God, sometimes I think Santana is delusional about Brittany as well. Like, so she was like, oh, yeah, I can't believe Brittany only got, like, 4 votes. Like, really? You really can't believe that? Like, okay. Like, she seems very delusional about her sometimes, but, yeah, Brittany, I mean, Quinn, yeah, just, I don't know, I don't know if anything's ever really going to satisfy her, like, hopefully getting out of the, like, I almost feel like that she could be, you know, she has more, like, her dreams are sort of bigger than even Rachel's, in the sense that nothing in, like, the small town, like, every time she achieves something, mm-hmm. it doesn't satisfy her, like whether it's, you know,
Quinn
being the most popular or the queen or whatever. That's something that apparently is a big part of the Faberi thing, that a lot of people think that, like, no matter how perfect Quinn's life is, there's just something wrong, something missing, and that something missing is that it's she's Rachel. Apparently a lesbian. But I don't necessarily think that either. But, like, there is Quinn's – Rachel is so easily pleased. Like, when, you know, she's going to go on – you know, we're obviously going to see this. But, like, she's so satisfied by small amounts of validation, whereas Quinn's not satisfied by these small amounts of validation. So I wonder if, like, if Rachel did, you know, put her Broadway dreams in the cupboard like a sweater and literally just had, like, a small life where she was happy and getting validated by the people around her, if that would – actually possibly be enough for her despite her talent, whereas Quinn would never be enough for, because nothing validates her.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Mitch, what are your thoughts about this scene? Did you like it?
Yeah, well, I was kind of happy that we didn't have Rachel doing anything with the votes and changing the votes, because we already had that storyline. She already did that with Kurt to try and get him to win before. So.
And she sort of accepted that she wouldn't win prom queen, too. So
yeah.
She was resigned to that.
But the whole reasoning behind getting Quinn and Santana to be the ones counting the votes, first off, if you can't trust students, the solution is to put 2 untrustful students to do the job. It should be get a teacher, get a professional in the building to do it, an adult.
But I sort of got it, like, in the sense that they were both up for it, so they were both going to not – they couldn't possibly – one or the other couldn't possibly sabotage it because they were both up for it.
Right,
you know
I
what
can
I mean?
Kind of
but
get that.
But it was still not really
– Yeah.
Well, that's so that's so flawed anyways, because they could easily just start trying to swing for the other person. Like, it could be, like their evil plan. Yeah.
Megan, what are your thoughts?
I actually was hoping that maybe when they were counting the votes and you know, saying that, you know, it didn't mean anything and that they wanted something else to happen, that Becky, that they'd let Becky.
I thought that too. I was expecting it to be Becky when Figgins was about to announce it. I was like, Becky, Becky, Becky.
Yeah.
But
that's
then
what I hoped.
I was just as surprised that it was Rachel. I didn't, you know, I could kind of maybe see it back now that I know who won, but I actually wasn't expecting Rachel to win. And I think I had the same kind of reaction that she did when they sort of panned into her face there. But it was so cute because Yeah, and we sort of see we're sort of jumping ahead here, but so in the next, basically the last scene of the episode, at prom, everyone is reacting to Blaine's hair without gel. Brittany gives him special permission to wear gel. Kurt says, I quote, "I love finally getting to see the real you," which I think, again, Natalie, as you were mentioning, is kind of interesting if they've been dating for a year.
It was definitely nice, but they've been together for over a year. Like,
yeah. Maybe it's 6-7 months. That's something you would say. But after a year and after the big, you know, blow up a couple of episodes ago, you would expect maybe to have already seen the real you. But anyway, we've talked a lot about them this episode, so we'll move on here. Figgins makes the announcement. He announces the prom court and invites last year's prom queen Kurt to the stage. He's obviously a little tentative, knowing with the everything that happened last year. Figgins announced that this year's prom king is Finn. Kind of expected that to happen, considering the other two and how it worked out in the voting room. Figgins announces that the prom queen is Rachel Berry, receiving a majority of the write-in votes. Santana and Quinn look at each other with a grin, knowing that they were the reason that she won. And this was a moment for me, and I was like, oh, that's so great, because like I said, I was expecting something terrible to happen at prom. Like, even Rachel said, you know, is a bucket of pig's blood going to fall on me?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, and it was so nice to see everybody sort of on each other's side here, and, you know, the bickering and sort of negative energy that I think the show sort of stirs up in previous seasons is sort of gone here.
Oh my gosh, I loved Rachel's prom dress, by the way.
Yes, it was
She
looked very Lea Michele.
So gorgeous. Oh yeah, she did.
You know, Lea Michele, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I've been seeing her at these events and different just photos of her out and about, and I'm like, she's pretty.
She's a good dresser. Yeah. She's very good.
Yes, absolutely. You know, so obviously Rachel Berry wins. She's absolutely shocked. Quinn begins singing Take My Breath Away. I'm overwhelmed with emotion because it was such a nice gesture, and I love Take My Breath Away. It's one of my favorite songs ever. And when I saw that they were going to do Take My Breath Away, I was really, really hoping it was going to be Quinn. And I didn't listen to the music, at least this song, before we watched the show tonight. And she started singing it. And I was just like, yes, everything that I was hoping would happen would. And then Tina makes an interesting comment as Quinn continues the performance, saying that she just doesn't want it to end and that she wishes it could go on forever. And I can't help but think of our Yeah, they're setting us up for something crazy here. We're going to be in high school forever. We're going to, you know, Tina gets, you know, there's a couple of things coming up where Tina gets her head a little bit knocked out a little bit. So maybe we're going to have that be season 4 is all in Tina's head and, you know, high school lasts forever. I don't know.
That would actually be really interesting because Tina is so severely underused.
Oh, absolutely.
Know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking whenever she said that. I was like, if we went by these crazy theories, maybe, you know, we'll look back at season 3, if this is the truth, and, you know, Tina's little comments could really have set up an entire season. So she wouldn't have been, you know, for no use this whole time. So, obviously, I grew up in the realm of watching Lost and thinking of every single possible theory I could think of, so that's where this is all coming from. I'm sure there are people listening that are rolling their eyes, but, you know, it's okay. During the performance of Take My Breath Away, Quinn begins to stand up and is eventually supported by Santana, and they sing next to each other, and it's so beautiful. I was so excited to see that this is when Quinn has regained her footing, if you will, and Rachel has a moment with Finn where she says, quote, "If my friends believe in me enough to make this happen, then I don't know. Maybe anything's possible." Mm-hmm. And I think that this was the last dialogue of the episode. And they sort of finish off the scene and there's confetti everywhere and we sort of fade to black. And, you know, that particular quote from Rachel, I'm wondering if that's going to set up, you know, some interesting situations with where she ends up going, whether it be New York or even L.A. or wherever she ends up going. So a big moment there for Rachel. So what were your guys' thoughts about Take My Breath Away? Megan?
I love that song too, John.
Yeah, I had a feeling you would. You and I seem to really like that 80s,
yeah,
you know, those pop hits, you know.
We're like musical soulmates.
We are musical soulmates.
Top Gun is an awesome movie.
Yes.
And Take My Breath Away is just one of those songs. It's like always been a guilty pleasure song of mine. And it's not even really a guilty pleasure because when it first came out, I think it was like really popular, and then it entered, you know, kind of the cheesiness realm, and then it became ironic, and then it became cool again. So yeah. It's totally fun to like Take My Breath Away, and I love like Quentin Santana together.
Yeah, totally. I think it's one of those sort of iconic songs now. Mm-hmm. You know, you look back at iconic 80s song. So you love Quentin Santana together?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They could sing The Phone Book and I'd be happy about it
too. Yeah,
I liked Quentin holding Santana, sort of holding Quinn up as well. Like she was kind of like, she stood up and then she was like leaning on.
Yeah, she was
leaning on her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I love that too. Mitch, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked the moment. I thought it was really sweet. And I just saw Quinn like struggling to stand up on her feet, but I was just, this is just a stupid little thing, but she didn't falter in her voice. She didn't forget any of the lyrics, but you're having like this groundbreaking, even if it's not physical, but emotionally like turmoiling moment of standing up in front of all of the school that thinks that you're a paraplegic for the rest of your life. And she was just completely fine standing up. Like, I felt like, I don't know, maybe they shouldn't have had her singing at that part, or they should have had some kind of reaction, at least in the show's version of the song, not the actual iTunes version of it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would have appreciated some kind of that, because that's a big moment. I mean, do you guys remember anything about the lyrics being special at that point? Like, I'm standing on my own and I'm making up words to that song.
That's an interesting point, Mitch. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. You know, I liked it. I didn't really take anything like that away from it, but I could see where you're coming from. I think Quinn sounds so fantastic on this song. I can't wait to listen to it over and over again. So that's pretty much it. Natalie, did you have anything to say about Take My Breath Away?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I mainly liked Finn and Rachel, though. I was like, it was nice of Quinn. And it was, I don't get the prom, I don't get why Rachel cares about being prom queen. Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm sorry, I will never get it. It just makes no sense to me. I don't really care about validation from other people. That's a big part of my personality, right. And so I don't really.
That's the sort of way the high school, you know, especially the high school girls, I feel like are all really focused on that. So I guess it was with that. But, you know, and, you know, Megan, you just mentioned Top Gun, and that's, again, we're pulling again from these 80s movies. I can't help but notice that parallel. And, you know, we're going to see some music next week. And actually tonight, the performance was released of What a Feeling from the from the movie Flashdance. Flashdance. And, you know, we see, which was released directly after Glee was over on Glee on Fox's YouTube account. And it's also posted on hypeable.com if you want to take a listen. So we're again pulling from these 80s movies and these sort of teen pop culture that sort of shaped a generation in some ways. So,
yeah, it's interesting to me that they are touching so heavily on the 80s here.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. So that's it for the rehash of 319 Promosaurus. And next week, guys, make sure you are loaded up on your caffeine like me.
Oh, it's going to be hell.
We're going to
No, it's not. But it's going to be a big thing.
Yeah, next week we are going to have Glee is going to do a 2-hour event. Episodes 320 and 321, Props and Nationals, are going to air back to back. So that's 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, on the East Coast at least.
Just like Smash.
Yes, exactly.
And we do it. We podcast.
Doing a double as well.
No, I'm saying that Smash ends at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we podcast after. Sorry. And you can ask Megan. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but we'll all get through it because we'll all be doing it together.
Yeah, and we might be a little slap happy.
We can all order pizza, and it can be a sleepover, and it'll be like 11 in the morning for me. But whatever, like
it'll basically be like us in the choir room at 3 a.m. unsupervised.
Yes. That'll be amazing. That scene. Okay.
Yeah, we'll set the stage like that. And we're still kind of working out exactly what we're going to do. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to record the podcast about episode 320 with one group and post it Wednesday right away. And then record 321 the same night and post it probably later Wednesday or maybe Thursday. It's just going to really depend on who's available and whose schedules work out the best. But yeah, you'll totally hopefully be hearing from all seven of us in a matter of two episodes of Glee. And,
perhaps we should ask as well if people would, I don't know, like it might not, you know, it may affect you, you know, you might have to do it this way, but would people rather get so it's back to back? Would you rather on Wednesday or Thursday get the two episodes at once, like not as a whole episode, but like
right, two separate,
you know, two separate, or would you rather wait and have one halfway through the week? Because obviously the second episode's going to be national, so I don't know how soon you want to hear from us about
that's
national.
A good point. So if you're listening, leave a comment in the comment section below on hypeable.com on our Glee chat post. Let us know what you think. Do you want to have both episodes back to back as soon as you can, or would you rather digest one episode at a time and sort of get the second half of next week's rehash a day or so later?
Let us know. I mean, it's no sweat off my back because, like, I'm doing the editing of it. And with doing what we do now, the Skype recordings, it's not as arduous to edit all of the podcasts. So it's quite possible for me to always get out episodes on our Wednesday. And as I said before, I don't like to promise that is always going to happen, but it's usually what does, and you can look forward to expecting it, especially the first part. I mean, I'm really good about keeping to my schedules. The only time I broke it was because of Smash. I was right during my finals week, but that was a low time in my life, and I know how to plan for the future now.
Yeah, Mitch has been working overtime, you know, with Smash Chat and Glee Chat. So, Mitch, thank you so much for taking that all this on. And hopefully once these shows go on hiatus, you won't have as much on your shoulders to deal with.
hopefully.
Yeah, so let's move on here a little bit. We have some Glee news to talk about. But before we do, I want to give a shout-out, a special recap shout-out to, drumroll please. Can you hear it? I don't know if you guys can.
You can hear it. You're good.
To our very own Natalie Fisher, because Natalie didn't know I was going to do this, because Natalie is on, you know, Natalie's on certain episodes of Glee Chat, and she also has taken on the role of writing the very amazing Glee recaps that appear on Hypeable.com. Okay. And not only are they amazing, they're very substantial. So if you want to know every detail about the show, you should definitely check them out. No, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. And we've had nothing but positive reviews and comments about Natalie's recap. So I just wanted to say, if Megan and Mitch will join me in a round of applause, good job, Natalie.
Yay. Woo.
Thanks. We're on it's, the it's yeah. fun. It's I enjoy Yay. It, even though it's like me. Like, right, okay, like, for any of my Star Kid fans out there, it's like the bit in Little White Lie where Lauren's character is sitting at the computer, like, all night, like, trying to be like, and, like, she ends up, like, with this crazy, like, hair. That's, like, me after watching Glee, like, especially when I've had work, and I come home and I watch Glee, and then I write the recap, and I'm like, oh, I've got to get it up by 10 a.m. New York time. And they're, like, 4,000 words, so it's like, but I really like it because I get to be really sarcastic.
Yes, you're very sarcastic in a good way, and I really appreciate the hard work that you put in, because being in a completely different time zone, people don't really realize what kind of strenuous sort of chains that puts on you as a writer and as a podcaster as well. So I just wanted to give you a special thank you for that, because it really helps Hypeable out. And I used to write them until the last couple of weeks, and it was just sort of becoming a lot for me to do, to run the chat room, run the Glee Chat Twitter, do all the notes, watch the show, edit afterwards. And, you know, Mitch has taken on that role with editing. Thank you, Mitch. And you've helped with the recap. So you guys are great. And Megan, you're just awesome. I mean, you know, I don't want to leave you out of this. So congratulations for just being awesome in general. Round of applause for Megan.
Well, that's just sweet. Hey, Natalie, this applause is for you because my mic was accidentally on mute.
Oh, okay. Yay. Thank you.
I didn't support as many applause, but that's all right.
Yeah, I couldn't hit the button fast enough.
Oh, it's okay. Okay, so let's move on to some Glee news here. We've been recording for quite a long time, but we can run through some of these really interesting things. So NBC has ordered a new sitcom from Glee creator Ryan Murphy, and this is pretty interesting news because – Ryan Murphy will now, after this show launches, I'm assuming in the fall, though nothing was really set in stone, I'm assuming it's going to premiere this fall, we'll now have three different shows on three different networks. And if you're a movie or a TV buff, you know that that's a tall order to ask. So
yeah,
it was announced that NBC had picked up the sitcom, which is titled The New Normal. And it basically focuses on a gay couple played by Andrew Rannells and Justin Bartha. Is that, yeah. Or is it Bartha? Okay.
I love him.
Yeah, and
yeah, I like them both, actually.
And the surrogate mother of their children, played by Georgia King. This is all according to the Los Angeles Times. So he'll now have Glee on Fox, American Horror Story on FX, and The New Normal on NBC. So if you're Ryan Murphy, you're probably looking at your bank account and saying, today's a good day, because these three shows are not only fantastic, but they're obviously big money makers. So what are your guys' thoughts? Are you guys going to check this out, Natalie?
It's really interesting. I mean, this was in talks a while ago. Like, it's been something that's been going around for a while.
Yeah.
And I remember that there was a bidding war over it. Like, it was like Brian basically wanted to do a new 20-minute comedy as opposed to, you know, a 40-minute drama.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was a bidding war. I'm surprised that Fox didn't take it, but I guess that the subject matter might be a bit too flat out controversial. Like, they don't have a fully gay focused show on Fox, you know. They have gay characters and shows, but not a fully gay focused show.
I gambled with that before with Will and Grace, which was a huge hit. So
Was that Fox, Will and Grace?
No,
it was NBC. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. Like, that's the thing. Like, and I thought originally that it got given to CBS. I thought CBS won it, but
yeah, I thought I won that too.
But NBC having it. NBC take risks on a lot of shows. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Most of NBC's shows, their comedies and their dramas, are the more unusual ones, and they have been a network that's really willing to take risks on shows. Like, they took a risk on Smash, Community. They're continuing to, you know, obviously throw support at, and you know, Parks and Rec. They have all of these quite unusual shows that they're more willing to kind of focus on, like, the quality in the show rather than just in money making or catering to the audience. You know, they really focus on showrunners' goals, and I really like that about NBC.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering if it'll affect, like, the way that Ryan, you know, runs his production, or whether it'll be you know, very different in content to Glee.
Yeah, NBC, I know that just for reporting for Hypeable and things, is not doing so well with ratings. I mean, it's barely holding on. They don't have a lot. They don't have an American Idol or, you know, The Voice has really finally kind of brought them back. But they were really struggling for a while. And I'm wondering if NBC really kind of, you know, I don't know if there was sort of a bidding war between with the show or what, but I wonder if, given Ryan Murphy's track record with Nip Tuck and then Glee and then American Horror Story, obviously Glee and American Horror Story getting Golden Globes and Emmys, kind of were like, listen, we need to get a Ryan Murphy show locked in on this network, you know?
I thought it was more maybe even like either the other way around, or like, you know, you scratch my back situation, in the sense that I think that Ryan has realized that Glee is not as successful as it could be, and that he wants something to compete with, like Modern Family and New Girl. Like,
yeah, exactly.
a lot of the awards are not even going to like the 40-minute shows. They're going to like a lot of the 20-minute, like the recognition and ratings is going to a lot of the 20-minute comedies. And I think he's like, oh, my success is going away. Oh, I'm not being controversial enough. I know I'll get a 20-minute show. Like, I'll get a 20-minute comedy, and that's what I'll do.
And we should also note that he is working with Glee writer Ali Adler. Is that the right word? Is that the right name? I know it's Adler, but I don't remember her first name.
I believe it's Ali Adler, and she's the one that was married to Sarah. What's her face? Hang on a second. Ali Adler is one of the new Glee writers.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a producer and writer.
Sarah Gilbert was.
Yeah, she was married to Sarah Gilbert, and they have two kids. They're not together anymore.
That's right. Yeah,
so she's a lesbian, obviously, and then, you know, Ryan is obviously a gay.
Yeah.
And then
a gay.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see this really, like, like literally, you know, because Modern Family's obviously got a gay plotline as well, but this is like a major plotline gay storyline. Do we have that on a network show at all currently?
You know, there's Modern Family that people go to with ABC, but no, I mean, the only other one that I can really think of is Oscar from The Office, who is not a lead character. He's a recurring.
Yeah, Bob saying like, yeah, like the major plot line, like is in the focus. So maybe he wanted to get the jump on that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, well, like I said, NBC took that risk with Will and Grace, and it paid off tremendously. And we just heard our vice president, Joe Biden, recently saying, you know, Will and Grace taught more to the American people about gay and lesbians than a lot of society could teach themselves, which I thought was interesting. Sure. So good for Ryan Murphy. And, you know, Ryan Murphy's sort of taken that sort of gay, I'm going to put gay out there and make these revolutionary characters, and good for him, you know, because there needs to be that representation. And it's obviously something that a network like ABC, I think, maybe gambled with in some capacity with Modern Family, but it's paid off tremendously. Modern Family's winning all of the awards, as Cody would say.
Well, you know, I do wonder, Natalie, I remember you talking about how Ryan Murphy likes to kind of make his gay characters go through really bad hardships and not really have a good outcome in life, and that Kurt was maybe like his one strong hero. I wonder what these gay characters are going to be like. I wonder how he's going to create them, because he does think about this in a seemingly very formalic kind of way. He knows what's going to happen with them, you know?
I wonder if with the sitcom it's going to be different, because you're going to have a live audience, you're going to have a comedy that's not really a comedy / drama, but I don't know, maybe he'll reinvigorate that.
Like, I'm wondering if it'll be, you know, we had Nip Tuck where he said, you know, he basically killed off every gay character and tortured them to death and all of this stuff. And so he was like, I was sick of doing that for gay characters, and then I want to, you know, have this strong one. And he had Kurt, which became sort of like a martyrship, you know, kind of thing where, you know, he was this, you know, poster boy, you know, strong, tragic, you know, different gay character. And now I'm wondering if he's just realized that he can just reach like a plateau of averageness where he has, you know, where he's like, okay, I can just treat these people like normal, you know, like, so, you know, maybe that's where it will end up. I don't know.
Yeah, that's.
I just hope it's not like Two Broke Girls, because, oh, wow, that's bad.
Megan, do you have any thoughts about it? Will you be watching it?
I don't know. I really like American Horror Story, but I don't know if I have room for another show on my DVR. So I'll just watch American Horror Story with Adam Levine, and that'll satisfy me.
Satisfy me as well. So I'll be watching that. okay, so I will definitely be checking it out. I'm willing to give Ryan Murphy a chance at whatever he does. Although I'm not a big fan of the horror genre, so I didn't really watch American Horror Story, but I hear it's amazing. And I know Natalie.
I watch it too.
Yeah, Mitch does.
I'm really, really into it. Me and my friends, like, we all gather around when is it Monday nights. We get all excited to watch it, and we don't talk during the show. Like during the commercials, we're in shock. We wait till the complete end, and we theorize. Oh, it's great. I love it. I always wanted to start a podcast with just them, and I was just like, I can't do another podcast. The two are too many.
Yeah.
I'll be really interested about whether, you know, if he'd wanted to, you know, make people guest star on the new show or anything like that from any of the other shows, if there's any, like, network stuff he's not allowed, like, if they're not allowed to have any crossover, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm a bit scared of him becoming like a mogul, like, you know, like a, you know, like, I feel like him giving him that much responsibility and power might be a bit scary and dangerous, given that, as we discussed before, they wing everything like so much. But,
well, I'm imagining that he, you know, the thing is, everything that Ryan Murphy touches turns to gold, literally. As in gold awards in his hand. So, you know, he's going to keep doing this. And, you know, and anybody that's in TV production would love a career like this. So I have a feeling the mogul title isn't far off. So we'll have to wait and see how this shows, how the show is in the fall.
Well, John, talking about how, like, you know, Glee sometimes is thrown together last minute, whatever. Isn't South Park a really popular show for that reason? Like, people know that that happens, and it kind of brings on some of the humor to it, because they're like, wow, these jokes are really current, and they're funny, but it's still well done. So it's not impossible to put together a good show so last minute. I wouldn't want to do it. Don't ask me to try and do that, but...
Yeah.
I would say that crazy. South Park is different, though, because it's sort of like a satire of pop culture in some way, so... With these other shows, those aren't the main focuses of the plot. I guess South Park isn't necessarily either, but, you know, South Park has sort of worked that into what it is. And Family Guy is another example of that. And I'm sure there's another one that I'm sort of forgetting. But, but I think that it works for South Park. So maybe that is something that we could look forward to with Ryan Murphy. Who knows? Okay, let's move on here to some more news. Glee's graduation album was released song by song on their Pinterest account, which was, we were speculating why Pinterest, but apparently
Stop
they were
trying to make Pinterest happen. It's
yeah,
not gonna happen.
I'm with you. I'm not into Pinterest, but
Gretchen.
No, not for stuff like this.
Not for stuff like this.
Yeah, not for, you know, big songs that we're all going to want to listen to, but I guess that's the point when it comes to marketing. So each song was released. Those songs are, and I'll just run down these quickly, I Won't Give Up, We Are the Champions, Edge of Glory, Roots Before Branches, School's Out, I Was Here, I'll Remember, You Get What You Give, Not the End, Glory Days, Forever Young, Good Riddance, Time of Your Life, and We Are Young. And so I asked some of you if you listened to the songs to... choose a song that stands out to you, and I'll just go first here because I didn't listen to every song because I kind of wanted to hear it within the actual episode or after the season is over. If it hasn't made it to the episode, check it out then. But I did listen to Good Riddance, Time of Your Life, because I love that song so much. And spoiler alert, if you don't want to know, you probably want to stop listening now. But Good Riddance, Time of Your Life is performed by Finn and Blaine, which was interesting because they haven't had any, obviously, a duet by any means. And it was really beautiful. It was really sort of, as I was listening to the song, as I've mentioned earlier on Glee Chat, this was the sort of senior song, my senior year at prom. So this was literally the last song that played at my senior prom. And we sort of said our goodbyes, blah, 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 in that whole way. So it's sort of sentimental to me in that way. And I really loved it. I mean, you know, Finn has that weird timbre to his voice, but, you know, him and Blaine together actually kind of had a sincerity to the song that kind of had me sort of reminiscing about high school and my last moments at my prom and how fun it was. So I really like the song. Natalie, had you had a chance to check out any of the other songs?
I haven't, except okay. I haven't. My computer cable, actually, like, along with my other technical problems, my computer charge cable died yesterday and I had to get another one. My real question was about is there an original song on this album?
I have no idea.
I got told that there was like another song on this album that was written like by Adam Anders or something that. Okay. And apparently it wasn't good. It's not the Roots Before Branches one, is it? Is that a legit
I think
song?
That's a real song. Yeah, I just looked that up on iTunes.
Okay, I might be totally wrong. So, but I heard that, they did another original song for no real reason. No, it's not that one. So, so that's what I'm sort of looking out for at the moment, to see what they've done with that and why. I'm going to have to get on this afternoon and listen to them.
Yeah. Megan, did you happen to listen to any of the songs?
No. I was trying not to.
Yeah.
I actually thankfully zoned out while you listed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So. No, it's okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No,
okay.
Mouthing with my husband.
Oh, no problem. Sorry, I didn't know that
skywriting. No, I didn't hear anything. It's all right.
That's
all
right.
Good.
Mitch, what about you? Were you kind of plugging your ears?
Well, I already know I actually have spoiled myself for the first time in a long time about this, and it was because I figured we were going to talk about it, and I was like, well, some things I'm going to have to spoil myself with. But the only song I listened to was Time of My Life, Good Riddance.
Oh, good.
And the only one that was the reason I listened to it was because Starkid Sims on Twitter, Simone had posted it on her Facebook, and I literally wrote just meh, too much Finn, because it did. I'm not a fan of his voice. And once again, John, you're offending me by telling me I had the same voice as him. Jeez, no, not really.
No, listen, if you can get on a top singing show like Glee,
yeah, seriously.
No, yeah, and you know we did listen. We did get to hear a little snippet of Edge of Glory, which was on the preview for tonight, or the preview for next week's two-hour event. And a couple of the other members of Hypeable who aren't on the show but are fans of Glee have said that that was a song that really stuck out for them. So, so we won't talk anymore about that because you're right, it is a little bit spoilery, and we'll have to see which songs make it to the episodes, because surely not every single one of them will be jam-packed into three episodes, or maybe they will. I don't know.
I think they will, because they have two episodes, and they're going to be like, oh, well, we can space out a lot of these songs, so they'll be fine. Yeah. We'll put 15 in.
Right. Okay, so let's move on then to some more Glee news here. The season 3 finale episode press release was released by Fox this week, and it was typical as to what you would expect. There's not really a lot of plot detail at all. I mean, it's literally a sentence. So I'll go ahead and read this, and we'll see what you guys think. And Megan, it's not spoilery at all. It's basically what you expect. In the season 3 finale, graduation is finally here as McKinley's class of 2012 looks to the past and present while contemplating the future in the all-new Goodbye season finale episode of Glee, airing at a special time Tuesday, May 22nd, 9 to 10 p.m. on Fox. So if you have your DVR set to 8 p.m., you're going to want to change it to 9 p.m. because it is, I'm guessing, coming off of the American Idol finale, I think. I can't be 100% sure. But yeah, they are changing it to 9 p.m. No, it wouldn't be the American Idol.
What time?
The new time will be 9 to 10 p.m. on May 22nd instead of 8 to 10 or 8 to 9.
That's a good way to lose a lot of viewers.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, I know we've talked at length.
Right. I don't even know now.
I know we've talked a lot about like, oh, the hiatus messed it up, but this is like your finale of season 3, one of your biggest finales.
Change around the
streets. Yes, people are going to miss it. I know they're going to miss it.
They will. And
it just baffles me what they're doing with this.
A lot of people watch this show on their DVR, so they're not going to know to change it, or they'll forget. And the other sort of interesting news here is that we see the entire cast pretty much credited in this episode, but the very last credit here, maybe this is too spoilery, I don't want to spoil you guys.
Tell me.
Okay, Megan, maybe it's spoilery because there's a mention of a previous person on.
Okay, I'm going to take my headphones off.
Okay, take them off for like 5 seconds. And.
Okay, ready, go.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan as herself will appear in the very finale.
Apparently, it's a mistake. It might not be, but apparently the general consensus I've seen is that it's laziness on behalf of Fox, and they just didn't change the formatting of the press release from the previous week.
Oh, okay. So then
it might be wrong though. That I don't know either way.
Okay. Megan, are you back?
Yeah.
Okay, it turns out it might be a mistake, so that's what Natalie said, that it would that it was a formatting error from the previous episode. So but I won't mention it just in case it does happen. So if you're listening at home, you can check all of this out on hypeable.com, and you can just search through the Glee fandom and you'll find the press release. I mean, I can't believe we're seeing the final sort of press release of season 3, you guys. I mean, I feel like we just started Glee Chat 2 days ago.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. So the episode will air May 22nd at 9 p.m., not its usual time at 8 p.m. Make sure that you change your DVRs if that's what you do. Okay, so let's move on here a little bit here. We have a couple Darren Criss related stories. Darren Criss is going to be hosting the 13th annual Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards. And as far as I know, they're not going to be aired on TV or have a live stream. We're still trying to confirm that.
It's just a small industry thing, I think.
Yeah, and it says here, Darren will host the awards ceremony at the Allen Room in Frederick P. Rose Hall, home of jazz at Lincoln Center, this Sunday, May 13th, and this just came out yesterday, which was Monday, May 7th. So it's not really something they're trying to make a big deal about, apparently. But this is from Broadway.com. In an invitation-only ceremony, the Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards will feature the presentation of awards in traditional categories such as Favorite New Musical and Favorite New Play, in addition to categories unique to the event, such as Favorite Diva Performance, Favorite Breakthrough Performance, and Favorite Broadway Tour. All awards are decided solely by the voting of theater fans on Broadway.com. So you can actually go and vote for who you want to win. And Darren is actually a nominee in this year's awards for Favorite Replacement with his month-long stint as J. Pierpont Finch in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, which I saw courtesy of Glee Chat hosts that you're hearing on the show tonight and the others that aren't. Yes. So thank you guys very much. And I would obviously going to be voting for Darren Criss because even though I haven't seen the others, I think he's the best.
Obviously.
So obviously this isn't the X Factor gig. But, you know, are we seeing Darren maybe build up his repertoire of hosting gigs by starting off small with this Broadway.com thing?
Did you read the story about the X Factor gig that was just happened tonight?
No.
Okay.
Fill us in.
Okay, at the Met Ball last night, Darren was asked about the X Factor gig rumor thing, and he said it was never a rumor. Like it was a lie. It was basically a.
It sounded like a lie.
It wasn't like it was offered to him and he turned it down. It was literally just a fantasy, fictional story out there that they just were like not going to get involved with that. So it was not ever. It wasn't like he got offered it and turned it down. It was not, according to him, at the. There was an article posted about it, I believe, on the Hollywood Reporter as well.
Yeah.
We can check that out. But, yeah, it was for all those people who were, you know, thinking about Darren Criss on The X Factor, it was not something that he was offered, according to him.
Good
they just sort of let the story go be fictional.
Yeah, well, that's good because when I was reporting for it on Hypeable.com, I was like, something doesn't seem right about this. I don't know. I'm glad to hear that he's sort of confirmed that. But why would he wait until the Met Gala to say that? You know,
I guess it was interesting for me when I read it, and I'm obviously generally very pro, you know, pro Darren and pro his career choices. But some of the stuff that he said about it, I was a bit like, it sounds like, let me just read you an exact quote.
Yeah, sure.
If you're interested.
Of course, yeah.
Cute picture of a baby. No. okay. Yeah, it was Hollywood Reporter. And it sounds like he said that they left it. I mean, because to me, in this day and age, that's the great thing about like celebrity and Twitter and all of that stuff, that you can just jump.
Exactly.
Like that so many celebrities are more accessible in the sense that they see a rumor that's not true and they're like, hi, that's not true, you know, like kind of thing. And it's like, it's almost even like eliminated the need for like a publicist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's, as we've, you know, discussed personally, like, you know, in our friendship and on Twitter with some other people, Darren's not really a big tweeter.
Right.
And he said, I don't have time. I'm thrilled. Flattered my name was even in that world. He called the speculation a delightfully misunderstood misunderstanding. And he said it was a classic example of people running with something they didn't bother to check facts with, but I didn't want to get in the way. I thought the rumor was cool. he did say, I'm happy to say that it wasn't actually true, so it doesn't sound like it would be something that he'd be into.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it made me look awesome. I had nothing to do with it, but it made me look cool. It was like free press. And I'm like, okay, all right then. So, like, I've got to say, personally, as a big Darren Criss fan, I did not really 100% back that. Like, if it was me and I was involved with his career, I would have been like, get on Twitter right now and say this isn't true. But clearly his publicist and team thought that it was a good thing or a funny thing or a, you know, a positive thing for him, his name to be hyped up that much.
Megan, would you have...
If it wasn't true.
Would you have liked to see Darren Criss host The X Factor?
Maybe. I don't really watch The X Factor.
Yeah, I don't
but,
either.
But, I mean, I do know that the X Factor hosts that I've seen are kind of like nobodies that I don't care about. I mean, I know they're not nobodies. Like, they have like radio.
But they're not Darren Criss stars.
Or something. But yeah, they're not Darren Criss. So.
Right. Well, very good. Yeah, he will be hosting the Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards this Sunday. And I'm sure we'll see some pictures and we'll post those on Hypeable.com. So be sure to check that out. Now, in what might be one of the biggest stories of the year, if you ask me, within the different fandoms, a photo of Darren Criss at the Met Gala surfaced via Joe Jonas, posing with none other than Daniel Radcliffe and Nick Jonas. Obviously, if you're keeping up with your Broadway world stuff, you know that these three played J. Pierpont Finch at different times in the revival of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, obviously with Daniel Radcliffe being the originator in this particular revival. And, you know, Natalie, I'm sure you'll be able to talk a little bit more about this than I can, but this is sort of one of those pictures that Glee, Harry Potter, and StarKid fans have sort of been hoping and waiting for so long.
Yeah.
And I remember Daniel Radcliffe when he was doing press, I think, for Deathly Hallows Part 2, and somebody had mentioned to him if he had ran into Darren Criss doing rehearsals, and he was like, yeah, apparently there's a photo that people are waiting for, and I don't know what they're talking about, and I don't really think that they're going to get it. And he was sort of not really, you know, particularly fond of the idea of that, and I don't really know why. It was a really bizarre interview. I think it was with MTV News. Excuse me, I think it was with MTV News, for those of you who want to check it out. But so, Natalie, what was your reaction as a StarKid and Harry Potter and Glee fan?
Oh, this might be a bit disappointing, but I was just like, eh. Like, I am aware that they've met, you know, like by now. Like, I know that they've met. So that's like, obviously, you know, for those people, I don't really want to, you know, go too much into it. But in case you live under a rock, or in case you don't care about Darren Criss, in which case this is probably the wrong podcast for you, saying, as we are very, very, very pro Darren Criss on this show. Obviously, when Darren got announced as Daniel Radcliffe's replacement in How to Succeed in Business, it wasn't just, oh, he's playing with Harry Potter. You know, you would know that the star kid rise to fame, and that Darren's first thing that he was recognized for was playing Harry Potter in this, you know, in the parody show, which, look, I don't even think there's anyone listening to this show or on Hyperbole that doesn't know this, so I'm not gonna, you know, spell it out. But basically, obviously, people wanted to see Dan and Darren together. I remember when Darren and Joey Richter were somewhere in LA, Darren said, I've got a photo for you now that's gonna break the internet, and he like tweeted a photo of he'd gotten Joey and Rupert Grint together in a photo at some event. I don't think Rupert Grint really knows who they are. Dan knows now about Darren only from How to Succeed.
Right.
Before that, there was a lot of obsession in StarKid and Glee fandom of people wanting the various people in StarKid to meet the various real Potter people.
Actors, yeah.
But it wasn't until How to Succeed Darren was even on Dan's radar, obviously, like, because he has sort of better things to do.
Right.
But you know, people like, oh, you know, Joey and Rupert met, so that happened, you know, both playing Ron and now, you know, obviously people like, you know, the goal, like Darren and Dan to meet. And obviously happened during the creation of How to Succeed, and so I was just sort of aware of that, and that was fine. I think Darren said the same thing in an interview. Like, someone had asked about, oh, have you met Dan yet? Why aren't there any pictures? He's like, yeah, we did meet, but it wasn't like a photo shoot.
It wasn't a photo.
We were talking about work, you know, it was, you know, I don't want to, like, it wasn't like a publicity event or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think obviously having the three of them together, because, you know, not to devalue, obviously there's the double connection with the Harry Potter thing, but like, even if there wasn't that connection, having the three Finches all take the picture together with Nick as well. Because obviously Nick's run is a bit longer than, you know, Darren's.
Right.
That, you know, that would be something that's really cool. And it would be really cool if they could have got, like, Matthew Broderick in the photo as well.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
And, yeah, it was also announced today that How to Succeed is going to be closing this year on May 20th. So that's going to be the end of the How to Succeed run with Nick, I guess, right until, like, up until the end. So, right. Yeah.
So go and see it if you have it, because it's a really amazing show. And, Mitch, I hope that you get to see it living in New York and having a little bit more access to New York City than
some
other people.
It's expensive. My next thing, my next exploit is to go see the Book of Mormon. Yeah. I don't know if I'd be able to do any of that, unfortunately. So I'm going to just straight up shoot it down right now.
You're going to see Book of Mormon, though? I'm sad. I tried to get tickets, but it's like closing.
Book of Mormon's closing?
Closing?
They're doing a national tour, actually.
They're doing a national tour, and like I couldn't.
When's it closing in New York? Because I need to see it this summer.
Yeah.
When's it closing in New York?
Oh, it's like one of the holiday weekends. And it was really hard for me to find tickets. Yeah, maybe Labor Day.
Well, my friend has tickets through September, at least. My friend has tickets in September.
I thought they were selling right up until later in the year. But here's some How to Succeed news as well, in case we didn't, you know, people didn't know this. One of, not How to Succeed, sorry, Book of Mormon news. Mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy's new pilot, Andrew Rannells, the actor, and he was former Book of Mormon star.
Yeah.
But more interestingly, both Andrew Gannells and Andrew Rannells and the other lead...
Justin Bartha?
No, the other lead role in Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
Are both leaving, obviously both leaving the show, their original parts, Josh Gad. Max Adler of Glee Kurovsky fame tweeted today that he's auditioning for that role, that Josh Gad's Elder Cunningham role in Book of Mormon on Broadway. So if he gets that, we might have another Glee star
on
starring
Broadway.
In the go on Broadway. So that should be interesting, given that they haven't even given him a chance to sing on Glee yet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Kicking themselves about that, so...
Yeah, and I Andrew Rannells was also in one episode of Girls on HBO. If you guys watch that, it's a very mature show. So if you're not, you know, if you're a youngster and you can't watch the show or you're not allowed to watch it, don't do it. But Andrew Rannells was hilarious in his episode. So check that out. Okay, we're finally going to be finished. We've been recording for 2.5 hours. We have one last thing, Glee Chat Fan of the Week. And this week it goes to Elizabeth Garber, who has been a great supporter of the show, both Glee Chat and Hypeable.com, and was in the Glee live chat that we had on Hypeable.com tonight during the East Coast airing of it. And she said, John, you should check out your Instagram notification. So I go to my phone, and she had taken a picture of the Glee chat live chat on Hypeable.com and said that her life was made because Roxanne Clark wrote to her. So
that's so cute.
Isn't that the cutest thing you've ever heard? So congratulations, Elizabeth Garber. You are the Glee Chat Fan of the Week. Yay. Okay. Is everybody done talking? Do you guys need to like go use the bathroom? Because I do, and it's two
I'm
hours
really
later.
Done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Really hurt.
Yeah.
Poor Andrew, I don't think he would have been able to stay up. He's probably passed out by now. It's midnight here on the East Coast. So that's it for this episode of Glee Chat. We will be back next week with two episodes as we recap episodes 320 and 321, Props and National. So you'll be hearing us very soon. And thank you to Mitch for editing. And thank you, Natalie, for recapping tonight's episode.
Of course.
And we will see you guys next week. So say your goodbyes now. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you next week. Do 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 do